The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just not a guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair because it's thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Steelers week here at Gillette Stadium. The Patriots are back in town after a bye week, ready to go. Ready to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday, 4:15 game in Pittsburgh. Very excited to get back to work. And the boys are here just from an open locker room, and they'll be ready to go. But we've got a lot to talk about besides the Patriots, because this is one of the rare times we have a chance to watch other games on Sunday. So we'll talk about everything that happened this weekend, Tim Tebow, the Jets and the Chargers, all that kind of stuff. Baltimore's debacle last night. I don't know what happened to them. They just look terrible. So there's a lot to talk about today on PFW in Progress. We'll do that until 2 o'clock. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Andy, Paul, welcome.
Thanks, Freddie.
What's going on?
Hi.
You guys just came from the locker room?
I did not. I just got here.
Really?
Yeah.
Just rolled out of bed?
No, my wife had a cortisone shot this morning.
Yeah?
And she didn't want to take the kids, so I had to watch the kids while she was getting shot up.
Okay. And Paul?
I came out of the locker room.
And?
A little quiet at first, but then some guys started rolling in. Albert Hainsworth spoke, talked a lot about Pittsburgh and watching them a little bit this weekend. Very impressed with them and how difficult it is to get Ben Roethlisberger to the ground. That seemed to be the big thing he took away. Who else? I think Rob Ninkovich talked. I was not in on that.
Benny
talked for a while. I was waiting for Patrick Chung, and I did get a chance to do an interview with him for the PFW TV show on Thursday night. So Patrick Chung is the interview this week. Patrick
He's been quite a media guy.
Very
lately.
Quiet. Well, yeah. I started off talking to him about that. He started laughing. I called him a superstar on ESPN and whatnot.
Right.
But Patrick is a man of very few words. You know, how did the defense come? We just gotta get better. You know, we gotta play good. Talk to him. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a special team story about how starters have been playing. You know, Belichick way. You know, starters play on special teams. Chung is one of them. He said he loves it because, quote, it's a 40-yard fist fight. I like that. I like that quote. And I'm like, you know, I think you described it. And he's like, yeah, it's a fight. And that was it. That was all he said. So.
So it was your favorite interview of the year, because anyone who lets you talk more than them is
I wouldn't say I spoke more than him, but it was probably a lot closer than any of those should ever be. He's a man of few words.
Well, sometimes he gets going. I was talking to somebody at PR. Once he starts warming up, then he opens up.
Well, he has to get out of cliche Belichick mode.
And I did not successfully get him out of that mode today.
Probably not a great day for it, coming out of a bye, a new game week. He's probably kind of focused
also
on the job.
Right. I'm sure they were all told it's back to work.
Right.
Anything you did over the weekend, that's gone. Now it's football.
Even if it's a porn star.
Oh, well, speaking
No Rob Gronkowski sightings.
Stunning.
I don't know if you guys are surprised by that.
Rob Gronkowski, obviously, people know by now, had some photos tweeted out over the weekend. I guess he was with a certain adult film star.
BB.
You know, and I guess it's not a big deal. I know, Andy, you don't think it's a big deal.
Nope. She's dirty, though.
I just,
one of our listeners sent us a link to Google Images or something, and she's a dirty, dirty girl.
Yeah, I just worry about
diseases.
One of these times, he's just going to find himself in trouble.
He could.
You know, and not because he's a bad guy or anything, but just he's in a situation that he loses control.
It's the issue you face, and I think Bill said this every day with every player. They need to mature. They need to learn. You know, Bill talked about it heading into the bye. The minute they sign an NFL contract, their life is different. You know, the people coming at them is different. You know, even back to, what was it, Herm Edwards, that says you got to have that rule of one, one car, one girl, one this.
Yeah.
But they have to learn that. I mean, it's like any kid, they kind of have to learn their, look at Tom Brady. He is as boring as they come now on some level. I mean, he's married with kids. Despite the fact he could be doing anything he wanted, but he went through his phase where he was partying and globetrotting and Tara Reid was dancing on tables. And I think at some point you either grow up or it affects your game. Because I think when you're young and you're out drinking and partying and porn stars, you're good young enough to recover and it doesn't affect your game adversely. But I think at some point, mid-20s, late-20s,
right,
if you continue to go down that road, people say, he never really reached his full potential because as he got older, couldn't bounce back quite as quickly. And so it's something to long-term to worry about. But short-term, I think because he took a photo with a porn star is 100% irrelevant.
All right. Paul?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, we commonly refer to him as frat boy tight end,
right.
Rob Gronkowski. And then he acts like a frat boy and everybody is like,
right.
You know, do you believe
either
what Rob
Gronkowski
did? Either
you like it and it's endearing, or
now,
you hate it and you want a boring, professional Gerard Mayo who never does anything other than walk from his house to Gillette Stadium and back.
Now, I mean, I don't – listen, what these guys do, if it affects their play, I think Andy said it right. I mean, I think at some point he's going to need to settle down because there aren't a lot of guys that burn it at both ends like that and have
right.
longevity. So, yeah, I am concerned. I think Rob likes to have a good time, and I am concerned about that. But
he also has older brothers. He has family. He has teammates.
In a circle, you know, in a vacuum, this one isn't as big to me as I think it's being made out to be.
Right.
Did you look at those photos? No. I'm being serious. Did you look at them?
I saw the
that one of our listeners sent.
No, I saw the photos.
Oh, of her.
Oh, yeah. She's dirty.
He wasn't involved, though.
No.
On an email or
his photo is simply he has no shirt on and she has his jersey
on. Yeah, I saw
on.
His
photos. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than the one thing I would say, and I said this to you, it kind of looks like they're at his house or his apartment or his condo. I would never do that.
Right.
I don't. I'm not bringing porn stars home to where I right. live and
I,
take
I,
her to a hotel, do what you want to do.
I worry about his poor mother. I mean, she's a nice woman. You know, what does she think?
How do you know BB Jones isn't a nice woman? Just because she's chosen a career that involves things that aren't, you know, mainstream.
I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to earn a living, and when you're blessed with certain assets and talents, you use them.
I don't know if that's a talent or an asset.
Oh, she's got assets.
Web radio.
And some talents from what I saw.
Thanks, Fred.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Moving on from Gronkowski. any other
we need a game.
Patriots-related news? No big transactions, no roster movements since the last time we
The clock is ticking on the PUP guys.
No, and I will mention, in addition to that, Belichick sort of hinted at the possibility of Marcus Cannon being sooner rather than later as well. He was not, he did not open the window last week to start practicing like the three PUP guys did.
Right.
But if you saw his quote,
encouraging?
Yeah, I think
he's thrown that word around a lot lately.
I think when he said, you know, we might see him out there soon. Well, I mean, Bill, I mean, ultimately, you know, you're sort of, you know, holding the key to that. So I think you can infer from that comment that he will be out there soon.
You get the image of him on the practice field. Hey, there's Marcus Cannon coming out. Wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But we
so that's
talked
really
about
good
that.
News.
Had they not signed Brian Waters, I would be really excited about that.
Right.
But he's a tackle in college. He's going to play guard in the NFL. I don't think there's any chance he plays center, and I think Dan Connolly's done a pretty good job at center. So I don't You know, it's a nice depth to have if Mankins gets hurt or something happens, or if one of the maybe he can add some flexibility because he played tackle some in college. I had a question for you, Paul. Was he a two-point stance guy at TCU? They're a spread offense with wide splits and two-point stance,
they did have – I couldn't answer that definitively, but my guess would be yes.
So that's interesting. That might take a little transition there to a traditional three-point stance, traditional zone-blocking type offense. But he's a backup guy now. If Waters weren't here, I think I'd be excited saying, you might get Cannon to compete with Dan Conley. You might push him for a starting job because I think he's intriguing physically. Yeah. He is a big, talented dude. I mean, you know, Waters, who lives, I guess, down in Texas, watched him play a little bit and said he's a beast. He kills people. I'm intrigued by him probably for next year, but I'm interested.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you did mention him and, you know, there's a few guys that came off PU or started practicing. Kevin Fogg, Diedrich, and Brace. And you've got the bye. You know, do you think this will be a time where Belichick says, okay, we're kind of starting a second season here. You know, okay, let's give Price a chance. Let's get Falk on the field. Let's do, or let's give Ocho Cinco more reps. You know, do you think we'll see some type of new beginning for anybody in, you know, in this coming week?
Not really. I mean, I just did posted Ask PFW. That was one of the questions that I was asked kind of a couple different ways about the Price-Ocho dynamic. Are they investing too much time in him at the cost of Price? Do you want to see him get reps? And I would. I'd like to see Price get a handful of reps. And I know they've invested money in draft picks in Ocho, but to me, you've also invested in Price. I mean, he's a third-round pick on a team that has virtually no young outside-type receivers. If he's not the guy, you're now set back even further. You haven't developed a young receiver to replace anyone. I'd like to see him get a chance because every time I've seen him, he's looked pretty good. Practice field, game field late last year, preseason game field. I'd like to see him get a chance. I mean, we've seen Ocho fail. We've seen him not get it for 6 weeks.
That's the key to me.
False starts and drops and whatever. Let's give Price a chance to at least fail.
I mean, if the problem with Ocho is that you can't give him that much to work with, and it seems like his role has been limited. He hasn't played that much in any of the games. He hasn't gotten a large percentage of snaps. Ostensibly, that's because he doesn't have that much of the playbook down or that much of that individual week's game plan down. Can Taylor Price really know less than that? I don't think that's really possible.
Right.
Now, the one issue is that we may face moving forward if they get healthier. Price may have been active because he was healthy. Now, moving forward, they may decide Price is a healthy scratch.
Oh, I'm fully expecting that.
These last few weeks, he's just been standing there. I still don't really know when he played on special teams. He got credit for playing the last game. I don't really recall it. He must have covered a kick or something. But if he's not out there, if he's not healthy, I mean, on the field, obviously they're not going to force him in there. I think Ocho is going to be active. Because if you deactivate Ocho, you've made it a media
story,
firestorm, whatever.
Sure. Whereas you can play him seven plays like he did last game, and people don't even realize it, really, until, you know, halfway through the next week.
If you deactivate him, you might as well cut him, because you're creating a controversy there.
Yep. Webradio at Patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-298-0398. Let's get into some of the games this weekend. The Jets, San Diego. You know, San Diego had, you know, an 11-point lead for a while, and then the Jets came roaring back. You know, a lot of people in New York are saying this was their defining game. This is the game that turns the season. They got their swagger back is how they put it on
the
NFL.com.
Head coach certainly feels that way. Listening to him post-game, you know, we went through some challenges, and this is the team I thought we were, and took a little longer, and we're a little behind, but well, what have you proven? I mean, you won a game. It's a good quality win against a competitive AFC team. I didn't think you played great.
Make sure we play like the New York Jets.
You could have played great. You could have controlled the game early. There was an early touchdown call back for a penalty that ended up being an interception. I think the game would have played out differently had they scored that. But I still think they need to have the mentality, we're not where we want to get to. And he seems to be taking the approach that we're kind of close to where we want to be. And I don't agree with him.
Yeah, I'm in the middle a little bit. I certainly wouldn't take it as far as Rex seemed to be taking it, but I really do think that was a game they had to win. I think that was must win, and they fell behind by 11 points late in the third quarter in a game that they had to win, and they won it. So I do think that can be a launching pad for them, but I agree with Andy. still a lot of mistakes. There's still a lot of bad play on both sides. And I was telling, there was one play in particular, I think right after they took the 24-21 lead, I think it was, because I think it preceded the, or it might have been when they got within 21-17. The Chargers were backed up. It was third and long, and they did one of those send-the-house blitzes, and it worked. I mean, everybody just, there was like three guys came pouring through untouched. Rivers is backpedaling 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage, rolling out, and he just had to throw one on the run up for grabs, and he completed it to Randy McMichael for 30-something yards because no one covered Randy McMichael. You can't have that. If you do that against the Patriots, you're going to lose. You know, so for them to say, like, oh, this is the team we thought we had and we're all fixed now, they're not all fixed. And, I guess it's a good thing for us if they want to think they have everything all settled, because that was far from a finished product, I thought. But I was impressed with their ability to come back, because I think their season was hanging.
I'd compare it to some people were using after the Patriots beat Dallas to talk about the defense, a breakout game, breakout performance. I didn't see it. They played better, but I wouldn't call that a breakout performance they had against Dallas, and I wouldn't call the Jets game as a total a breakout performance. They won a game they needed to win. The defense helped the Patriots win a game they needed to win. They've improved, but if you think you're there, if you're the Patriots defense or the Jets as a team,
right,
then you're not going to go where you want to go late in the year.
And you don't see the Patriots talking about, well, we're there now. This is right. The defense we thought we could have. That's how they're talking in New York, and I think that's a mistake.
Well, as much as I was rooting for the Jets to lose, the loss for the Chargers now makes the Patriots gives them the best record in the AFC. They're the only one-loss team left. So, in a way, it helped the Patriots to have the Jets win this game.
Sure, and it's like you have a two-game lead because you beat San Diego. So.
Right. So you can look at it that way. The other game, Baltimore, last night.
Maybe the worst football game I've ever watched. I only watched the first half, but the fumbles, you had two elite caliber running backs putting the ball on the ground seemingly every other play. You had two quarterbacks. I couldn't tell which guy was the rookie who needs to prove himself and the guy who's supposed to be the veteran taking the next step.
Just horrible.
Reviews, slow, you know, the game bogged down with reviews and challenges and that's awful football. And I actually,
boring.
At one point, Mike Tirico said, this is the worst, and I thought he was going to say, football game I've ever done on this Monday Night Football, but he went on to quote a stat. There was some stat.
Right.
But that was an embarrassing game.
Well, but, you know, you look at...
Boy, am I glad I didn't catch one single play.
My God. Like, everything. Even Ed Reed, who is great, got involved. He
really
was back on a punt return.
Play.
Did he try to return a... he got a stinger later. Okay. But he tried to... There was a bouncing punt that he kind of let go and then decided at the last minute, I'm going to grab, and just whiffed on it. Luckily, they called him a whiff. I'm still not sure he whiffed.
Well, it was very close.
And the Ravens, I guess, fumbled, but they kind of skipped forward. But even Ed Reed, who you think of as just everything he touches turns to gold, was effing up. It was ugly.
And I was talking to Fred about this morning before you got here, Andy. There's something about that team that's just missing.
I'll tell you, quarterback.
It's more than that,
stinks.
Though. It's more than that. It's like you said, Ray Rice fumbling the ball
and
stuff.
But his weapons, like...
I'm starting to think there was a slippery ball or something. I'm waiting for that story
to
come out.
And I also, you know...
Other than Ray Rice, nobody's playing well on that offense.
And there's no reason
for it. But
that
starts with
the
quarterback.
Well, the tight end's...
Ball feel good. That ball there had silicone on it.
Yeah, that ball there had silicone on it, I think.
Ed Dixon has played very well for them. They have weapons. On offense.
Yeah, but you can't use them if your quarterback sucks.
Well, then we use them every other week.
Well,
Flacco throws for 360 one week and 50 the next.
I just think he sucks.
I mean, you can't be, you know, the whole, like, you can't win a Super Bowl like that. You can't. You can't have a guy who is so up and down. He's thrown for over 300 yards like four times this year and like under 200 three times. You can't do that.
He's terrible. I don't think he completes enough passes. I don't think he's accurate enough. And I think he gets flustered. I think he's
mental. He's only like 51%.
Yeah, he's not.
For the season.
He's not very good. Not a good
But you look at them.
But then Blaine Gabbert. Did you see the play when Blaine Gabbert? It was probably on like the 40-yard line going in, and they bring in Cecil Shorts, who's a Jag speed burner they hope is going to develop. But a guy drafted out of a small school. I don't know. Paul probably knows the school. But just because he can flat out fly.
Mount Union.
And they're like, you know, this is a guy they're excited about. They think he's going to make plays down the line. Hasn't caught a ball yet this year. And Gabbert. They just weren't even on the same page. They throw up a fade to him, and Ed Reed was the closest player, and he was 10 yards.
Yeah,
it wasn't even close. Ugly ass foot, like a preseason game,
yeah.
Like what you'd expect to see when nothing is working right.
It was really bad. But then you look at Baltimore.
Did we get a release saying it was the highest rated anything ever?
Nah,
I hope
but
not.
But you look but at you Baltimore's
happen to see
offense.
A Sunday night game lost to the baseball. I was surprised by that.
Well, I'm
no, I know what the score of the
I'm
game
sure
was.
Clicked over. At some
Baltimore and Jacksonville. But you look at Baltimore's offense and even San Diego and the Jets, and you know, there's no offense that is that good
right.
in the AFC that, you know, as bad as the Patriots defense has been, that you're like, oh my God, we can't stop these guys.
Well, it gets to the question that we always have with these teams, is Baltimore's defense, which is their huge
sure.
strength, match up with the Patriots offense, and the Patriots defense match up with a stinky Joe Flacco?
Right.
And does Ray Rice carry that? Because that's the one guy that I think can carry them. We saw that here in the postseason a couple of years ago. He is an elite player. Last night he, you know, just, I don't know what you
I just don't see, if they just played the way they did in the early part of the 2000s, where they played this great defense, but their offense couldn't get out of their own way. And that's what you saw every week. And they won, you know, every game 17-6. I would say, well, it's really hard to win that way all the way through. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. They have one week where they score 35.
Right.
You know, and Flacco is zinging it around, and they got Ray Rice getting 150 to 200 yards of total offense, catching and running. And, you know, Anquan Boldin catches 7 or 8 balls. And then the next week, you know, Torrey Smith had two different games this year where he's looked like, you know, a budding superstar rookie wideout, even though you and I really both don't like him all that much. He's made some big plays for him. And then the next week, they can't even get out of their own way.
But I think that's the quarterback.
I saw a thing on Twitter. They didn't get a first down until the third quarter.
Oh, no, it was forever.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, that can't happen. That's Tim Tebow-like.
Right, but that's what it is to me. And it's what we talk about all the time. All these guys that start have some skill, except Tim Tebow. But they all have skill. They have talent. So they're going to have games where they're good. But good quarterbacks do it 7 weeks in a row, 8 weeks in a row, 10 weeks in a row.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Anybody can lay an egg.
He can't do that.
Anybody can lay an egg.
He
plays well twice and bad once.
He's a Jag.
You can't do that.
He's a Jag.
You have to be more consistent than that.
But I don't think he's going to be that. I think
it certainly looks like that at this point. I mean, I'm defensive of Flacco because I don't think that...
Because he played in the CAA.
No, well, I'll give you an example. I don't think Matt
Probably
Ryan...
Probably the first red flag.
I don't think Matt Ryan has been any more consistent.
No.
And I don't care about what the numbers are. It's a whole different kind of offense.
I actually didn't think Matt Ryan was that much better at BC. I know everybody got in the hype and all this. I thought when you watched BC games, you saw an inconsistent quarterback who at times you said, hey, he's not that good.
And I also think that Flacco's completion percentages, they're like an old-time team. They throw the ball... They push the ball downfield... I think too often.
A little bit, but I also think he's got a little Kevin O'Connell in him. The closer he is to the line of scrimmage, the less accurate he gets. I don't think he can throw the ball.
But maybe that's why. Maybe that's
why he's one of those strong-arm quarterbacks that can't hit guys where he needs to hit them on short passes.
Did Lee Evans die? Where was Lee Evans? Is he still hurt?
I don't know. I didn't really see him last night.
I don't think he played.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know. I don't know the story.
Just, like I said, I didn't see.
And Boldin dropping balls. It's just, they
I
stink.
Didn't see, well, I mean, I'll give him a. I'll cut him some slack, you know, if he had a bad game. Like Ray Rice fumbled the ball last night. I mean, he's like Benny. He went like 500 yeah. touches or something.
And then
else.
He turned into LT. He had his helmet on sitting on the bench just sulking.
Although I will
himself.
Say, didn't he fumble in the playoffs? Is that another one of those streaks that doesn't count the playoffs? I thought he fumbled in that Pittsburgh game last year, Ray Rice.
I don't know.
Is that another one we don't count, the ones that actually cost you a season in the playoffs?
You know who was blowing up for the Jags defense? Jeremy Mincy. All over the field, blowing gaps in the backfield, making plays.
Jeremy Mincy, that's a classic.
He's going to have
a nice
10-year
career
for
him,
himself. Freddie?
No.
He was a sixth-round pick several years ago now, probably like 5 years ago. He told me his goal was to be earning time on defense as a rookie and by his second or third year to be a captain on defense.
Maybe a second or third year in Jacksonville as a captain.
He got cut out of camp.
Right. But he did have a nice conversation with Bill Belichick last time they played, as I recall. Wasn't that? Remember that?
I have no idea.
After the game?
No recall. Idea.
Things you choose to recall. Random.
I'm going to bet, I'm not going to be mean here, but I'm going to bet that he's talking about someone else.
Maybe.
It was actually Samuel L. Jackson and Bill Belichick.
It could be. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Speaking of Tim Tebow.
I was proud that we made it 20 minutes in without talking about that Jag.
Tebow led his team to a big win.
Yeah.
The first time, I think, for a long time that any team with 3 minutes left came from behind from 15 points.
I believe it was the most ever.
Most ever?
I think it was the first win a team, 15 points in the last 3 minutes or something.
You know, so look, he looked
one
terrible.
Of those stats, Paul.
He looked terrible. He looked awful.
He sucks.
But you can't deny the intangibles. And when
it's no one denies the intangibles. It's the tangibles, the ability to throw the football like that right there. It's wide open by 10 yards, and he misses them by another five.
Yeah, that's
according to the TV.
That's because it wasn't Brandon Lloyd.
But didn't he finish the game with like a 94 QB rating?
He leads the NFL in fourth quarter passer rating at this point, according to the official stats. So whatever their parameters in to make it into the top.
There's something to be said for that, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did play the worst team in football. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh.
Are you
right?
Wait, wait. Are you being serious now?
Yeah, I am being.
There's something to be said because he played in one fourth quarter that's relevant.
There's something to be said that
when the other guys have played seven games and he's played one quarter.
And he threw two touchdowns, right?
Well, Bob Lee, is this Bob Lee?
The guy
sends us an email.
Outside the Lines?
And,
I mean, good for, I'm not taking away from the comeback. I mean, you really, putting relevance into fourth quarter passer rating when he's played in parts of two fourth quarters.
Plus, by the way, to diminish it a little bit, I believe Aaron Rodgers is 11 and Brady is 12. And I don't think there's anybody in football who wouldn't say those are my top two quarterbacks I'm taking.
Right. So Bob,
well, you know, if you're down a score and you have one drive left, I mean, that's what the debate would be Rodgers, Brady, or Tebow.
Or
I think
fullback.
That's what you would go with.
I'd take the H-back.
Bob Lee writes in a lesson in possible media hypocrisy, if you dare to read my comment on the air. We will.
We always dare to.
Joe Flacco, the starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens since he was drafted in the first round of 2008, started his 54th consecutive game last night against the Jacksonville Jaguars, whose record before the game was 1-5. He has taken the Ravens to the playoffs in 2008, 2009, and 2010. Naturally, Flacco is considered a good quarterback. Tim Tebow, on Sunday afternoon against the Miami Dolphins, started his fourth game in his career against a team who was then 0-5. Tebow was selected in the first round of the 2010 NFL Draft. Comparable pedigrees, except Flacco has way more experience in running an NFL offense. Objectively, Flacco should receive much more scrutiny or be held to a much higher standard from sports analysts and talking heads than Tebow is. Bearing this background information in mind, here are the results of both quarterbacks after the first half of their respective games. And then he goes on, completions, Flacco was 6 of 16, Tebow was 3 of 5, percentage 37.5 to 60%, yards passing 8 to 24, passer rating 45.8 to 72.1.
So what's the point?
First down 0 to 3. Now here are the numbers at the end of the game. Flacco finished 21 of 38, Tebow was 13 of 27. With passer rating 61 to 91.7. With all due respect, when you begin trashing Tim Tebow in his subpar performance, can you endeavor to be objective, unlike most of your brethren in the media, and trash Flacco with equal vehemence?
Boy, that email really blew up in your face, didn't it, after the last 20 minutes, moron?
Oh, by the way, in case you forgot, Tebow won the game, Flacco did not. Of course, for most pundits, that doesn't make a difference, but I hope you do bear in that fact in mind, unless, of course, you
Paul
have an
Carr.
Agenda against Tim Tebow.
And ESPN just been
already, huh, Paul?
And ESPN just spent a half hour saying Ravens can't win Super Bowl with Flacco as their quarterback.
And
good objectivity, Mr.
For the last 2 years, the MO on the Ravens has been they can go where Flacco can take them. If he can develop into a good quarterback, they have the defense, they have the running back, they have talent. If he can't, they won't. And as Paul said, literally on first take, they just debated forever that they can't win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco because he's not developing.
According to the Elias Sports Bureau, since the 1970 merger, no QB has ever brought his team back to win by trailing. We went over that. In addition, in his four
against
starts, Tebow has twice brought his team back from a 13 or more point lead when trailing in the fourth quarter and won. In his entire career, John Elway only accomplished that feat twice.
Yeah, I take him over Elway, too.
Tebow has now started four games. His win-loss record is 2-2. In contrast, here are the records of comparable first or second-year
quarterbacks. Can we just end this email, please? This is utterly ridiculous. We just ripped Joe Flacco for 20 minutes.
Well, I guess then...
So we're not being hypocrites. When guys play badly, we rip them.
But I guess...
Joe Flacco just got ripped.
I guess the emailer here is saying that you throw out numbers when it comes to Tebow because they're not too bad.
No, because you think Tebow's good, you throw out the numbers. That's what this guy is doing. So forget about the fact that were down 15.
He's saying the opposite.
No, he's saying throw out the numbers because Tebow just wins.
No.
But he's completely ignoring the fact they were down 15 because of Tebow.
No, he's actually taking the numbers and saying you should consider the numbers when you compare to other guys, you know, with similar, you know, similar,
like 48% completion
similar
percentage,
similar background,
like 48% completion.
I mean,
percentage?
We're ripping Flacco because of numbers. We're ripping Flacco because he's not accurate enough. We're ripping Flacco because he's not consistent enough. So why shouldn't we rip Tebow for the same thing?
But what do you give Flacco credit for?
Winning.
Okay.
That's all I give him credit for.
If Tim Tebow takes the Broncos to the playoffs 5 years in a row, I will give him credit for that. And I will, as I've said to you 3 weeks ago, I will admit I'm wrong. But don't tell me that game on Sunday proves that I'm wrong.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think anybody's proving
he looked like a peewee quarterback running around with his back to the line of scrimmage, got sacked 7 times.
And Paul knows about that. He's an expert in that area. He was a left-handed Jag peewee quarterback.
We had a lot in common.
I think the problem is that the Tebow fans have and why they get so quickly defensive, much like Patriots fans get very, very defensive very quickly, is because no one's even giving him a shot. You know, no one's giving him a shot because he looks really bad out there and awkward. And, you know, part of it is being a lefty. And I think when you look at lefty, it looks strange.
So we're supposed to ignore our eyes and just say, he's going to be great, even though like he can't throw.
See,
he's got terrible.
You're going to the other extreme.
I think we're, as analysts, aren't we supposed to analyze with our eyes what we see?
Well, that's all I'm. I mean, no, should I just say, let's wait and see? We haven't seen him play.
I don't think you should say he's going to be great. I don't think so. But I don't think you should say he's definitely going to fail either.
So I shouldn't say that I think AJ Green's going to be great because everything I see physically leads me to believe he is phenomenally talented, right? I shouldn't say that either.
Well, there's a lot of guys that have.
Are we just going to wait and see, and at the end of career, say so and so was good and so and so was bad?
I think if you consider everything about Tim Tebow, everything, I think you say he's got a shot.
Well, wait a minute, but that's your opinion,
right, yes.
And you're well
My
within your rights.
Is he doesn't.
Yes.
He can't throw the football.
You're well within your rights to have that opinion. Why shouldn't Andy have his?
Oh, absolutely.
You just said he shouldn't
say
that. You don't think he has a shot.
I think he's going to fail. Why can I not have that opinion?
It's not based on any. I know that everybody that likes Tim Tebow thinks that all the negativity is rooted in some deep-seated underlying hatred toward Christianity and every other thing. That's not what it's about.
How's he any different than Mark Ingram?
If I saw him
2 years ago, we said isn't even the best running back on his team and is going to be a Jag NFL running back. How come nobody runs to the defense of Mark Ingram? What's the difference?
Because
Mark Ingram seems to be a very nice man.
I don't like Mark Ingram's style, and I think it's conducive to the college game, but won't work in the pros. Dane was the same way.
You might be looking at it very objectively, Andy, but I think there are a lot of people, and this is why the Tebow fans get very defensive, that are looking at it just for what Paul said, because
he
wears his Christianity in his sleeve.
I don't think that's why people don't think he can play football.
Well,
I don't think that's why Trent Dilfer and Merrill Hodge don't think he can play football.
But I think that's why a lot of people want to see him fail, because of who he is.
But you're confusing two things. I don't like Tim Tebow. That stuff rubs me the wrong way. I hold his supporters against him. I can be 100% honest in that. But that's not why I think he's going to fail. I think he's going to fail because he can't throw the football.
I'll give you a perfect example.
Two different things.
I think Cam Newton is a reprehensible kid. I don't like him. I think he took money. I think he's dirty. I think he's everything that's wrong with college sports at the highest level is epitomized by Cam Newton. But that doesn't mean I don't think he can play. So based on your theory, I would just say Cam Newton can't play. He's not going to succeed because I don't like him, and I don't want Cam Newton to succeed because I don't like him. However, he has the physical skills to play. And he's showing that so far. Now, he's not winning a lot of games. You know, who knows? Maybe Tebow will be the ultimate winner, and it'll stand in contrast to Cam Newton someday. And Tebow won't put up the big numbers, but he'll win games. Maybe that'll be the way it is. I don't know. But to say that I don't want Tim Tebow, yeah, you're right. I don't like him. I don't want him to succeed. That has nothing to do with my analysis of him. Nothing. I don't think that he does. I watched him play a little bit on Sunday on the Red Zone channel, admittedly, not every play. Just the ones that they show you on Red Zone channel. And he's running around, turning his back to the defense. You know, I heard some people complaining, well, they didn't give him a game plan and let him throw. He ran the ball a handful of times. He got sacked 7 times. They tried to throw the ball over 35 times. Just because he's not capable of getting the ball out when it's supposed to come out, that's not on the coaching staff. I heard people saying John Fox wants him to fail. I just can't believe that. John Fox wants to get fired? I mean, this is his second go-around. He probably ain't going to get a third if it doesn't work.
Well, I think John Fox wouldn't mind having the Tebow question not a question anymore.
But do you think he wants him to fail, or do you think he'd like to see him rattle off a 10-game winning streak? Which one do you think would be in his best interest?
I think he probably doesn't think he's capable of doing that.
But,
so
but again, why does that
have him off the team?
Wait a minute. So you think that he would rather be out of a job than...
He wouldn't be out of a job.
Who's John, Andy Hart? He'd rather be right.
Because I think John Elway probably is another guy who...
So you think if he wins, he's...
He makes it difficult for them, yeah.
Why? That's insane. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the stuff that... This is... The correlations to Flutie here are uncanny. This is the same crap I heard when I was a kid. They'd want him to fail. Does that make any sense in the big money business of National Football League? I just can't imagine that John Elway and John Fox want this kid to go out there and fall on his face so they look worse. I don't really get that.
I don't think that they believe that, you know, long term we've got a shot with this guy. But as long as he's on this team, we've got a problem. Either, you know, either we do something with him or the fans are going to be irate.
Then cut him. If you really think that, cut him.
They might. I mean, you know.
Not if he's winning games, they're not going to cut him.
Well, but then if he wins games, you're wrong.
You don't have
wrong.
A problem.
You know?
Why are they proven wrong? Why are you inside their heads telling you what they think?
John Elway has basically came out before the season and said that this guy couldn't play quarterback.
Basically, or he said that?
In so many words, he did, okay. And you know he did.
No, I don't, because he's on the team.
Well, I'll show you the.
I read reports about how he was fourth string quarterback, and then the first game came, and he was the backup.
Yeah,
so those reports obviously proved to be false.
I'll show you the Elway quotes. Quotes, not.
So
not
you think
reports.
That because he said something, which I still don't think he did, but you think because he said something means he wants him to fail?
I think that this is a problem. That they have.
So they should all be fired right now if they're playing a guy that they don't think gives them the best chance to win. They should all be fired.
It could be.
They should be fired right now.
Yep. They
today.
Should, you know?
If they knowingly played the guy they think doesn't give them the best chance to win,
well, right now,
they should be fired right now.
The problem on that team is they don't have anyone that can give them a chance to win. That's the problem.
Why? That's very disrespectful to all the other 52 players in the team. I don't know why you would say such a thing.
At the quarterback position.
That's disrespectful to Kyle Orton.
It is, but that's the way they feel. Otherwise, he'd be playing, wouldn't he?
What, so, but why is it okay to say that about Kyle Orton then?
They haven't said it. They said it about Tim Tebow.
Okay.
They said it about Tim Tebow.
So they're playing a guy they don't think gives them the best chance to win.
They're playing him out of
fire
pressure.
Fire them right now. John Fox should be fired right now.
Maybe. Maybe it's not John Fox's decision.
Whoever's decision it is should be fired right now.
Okay.
Now the head coach doesn't have a choice on his quarterback.
Could be.
Really?
Do you really think that Tim, you know, as bad as you think Tim Tebow is, do you think that he beat out Kyle Orton?
No, Orton lost the job.
Well, to who?
The next guy in line.
Who did he lose the job to?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, so he beat him out.
No, Orton lost the job.
Okay, so now you're going to argue semantics with me.
Well, I kind of agree with him.
I don't know how you can argue any other way.
Do you think there's any way that Brian Hoyer could... Tom Brady could lose his job to Brian Hoyer?
If he lost 35 of the next 40 games, yes.
And
that's what Kyle Orton did.
Yeah, okay.
Fred, did James Ahedebo beat out Sergio Brown, or did Sergio Brown play and show himself
incapable? Okay, now we're gonna compare.
It happens on any depth chart.
You're gonna compare Tom Brady to Kyle Orton?
That's ridiculous. I'm telling you, on any depth chart, there's a depth chart, and a guy plays, and he can lose a job.
To the guy who beat him out.
No, he just lost a job. Ahedebo did not beat Sergio Brown out. Sergio Brown got on the field and sucked. Played the position as poorly as I've seen it here in New England. They put Ahedebo in. He was competitive, correct? But they had Brown ahead of Ahedebo.
They obviously believe that Tim Tebow
ahead of Ahedebo
gives them a better chance to win right now than Kyle Orton.
Because Orton lost the job. They obviously entered the season not believing that.
That's fine, but you just said something that was contradictory to that.
What's that?
You said that Elway said that he can't play.
So
if that's true and they don't think he can play, then Orton should still be playing quarterback no matter how badly he plays. Because they don't think Tebow can play according to you. It's just another excuse in the propaganda machine that this guy is not being given a chance.
Look, I'm just telling you what Elway...
That's all it is, Fred.
I'm just telling you what Elway said. Now,
if that's to be taken at face value and he doesn't think Tebow can play... He shouldn't be playing.
I think there's a lot of pressure. There has been a lot of pressure to put Tebow in the game, and they finally succumbed to it.
That I agree with.
Maybe they're sucking for luck. Maybe they figure if they put Tebow in, they can end up at the bottom of the league.
Well, not according to last Sunday, because they won.
Because he pulled one out of his a-hole. right?
So?
Do you not think that there's a Tim Tebow propaganda machine?
Well, if what you're saying is true, then we're right, that they're hoping that he fails.
That's possible.
So have you
seen the movie Major League?
Okay. I don't think they hope he fails.
Well, Andy thinks it's possible.
I think anything's possible.
I can't
in the
eliminate
NFL.
Anything because I'm not
ML
in control
Carr
of that.
Did it. It's been done. In
oh,
sports.
I know.
I don't think that they are hoping he fails. I think it would be much better for John Fox if he goes out there and proves him wrong and wins 10 in a row.
But Fred, let's get back to the. Do you believe there is a propaganda machine of people that just promote Tebow?
I just said that his fans are very defensive. They get very defensive very quickly.
Because there's one guy in Boston,
absolutely,
on 98.5 The Sports Hub, who is the ringleader locally, and that's Mike Felger. His adoration for Tebow is ridiculous to the point where I heard him ranting and raving because I don't know if you saw this, Fred. They threw a throwback pass to Andrew Luck, and he made a phenomenal catch, something that would make Chad Ochocinco drool. And Felger's like, that's ridiculous. Now we're going to have to see that on all the highlight films that he can make a catch, but it's totally irrelevant. Well, maybe it's irrelevant for a pocket passer, but doesn't it show that he's athletic, he's gifted?
Sure.
Isn't it irrelevant for an NFL passer to show Tim Tebow complete jump passes where he pump fakes three times and throws the ball in the end zone? But I didn't hear Felger ripping those. He said Tim Tebow is a gamer. He just wins on the goal line. So there is an absolute propaganda, blind faith in Tim Tebow that all you Mellings, as I like to call them, fall under.
But I think that, and I agree with you, but I think that becomes even more fervent because of
the haters.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
The followers, the disciples of Tim Tebow, definitely become emboldened by the fact that the haters, like Paul and Andy, hate him. And it fuels you guys to be even more up his butt and more think that despite the fact that he played the position as, quote, poorly as you can play it, according to many analysts, including Trent Dilfer, who knows how to play the position poorly and ride to a lucky win. He made a career out of it. Right? Despite that fact, everybody thinks, oh, he's 2-2 and he's better than Joe Flacco. Whatever you think of Joe Flacco, he's gone to the playoffs three times. He went into Foxborough with whatever it took. He didn't do much, but he led his team to victory. Mark Sanchez has been to two AFC title games. He doesn't play the position great, but he did what he needed to do to win. If Tebow goes 2 and 3 years and is in the playoffs and going to AFC title games, yes, Paul and Andy will have to say, we're flat out wrong.
And I will.
He's good enough. Whatever it is, whatever he's got, it's good enough. But I just don't think eventually it'll be good enough because I generally feel that people that lack physical skills at some point are run out of the league. Their flaws are magnified.
I'll give you another one, too, with Felger. He was ripping our little Dougie yesterday. Now, you guys know I'm no huge Flutie fan and certainly no Boston College fan. But he was saying how different.
Give me a break.
I mean, the parallels here are scary, you know, the two of them, you know. And Felger is ripping Flutie, saying, this is nothing like that. Tebow was far more accomplished. And Tony Maz is saying, Mike, they both won the Heisman Trophy. They were both the best that the college game had to offer. And he says, who did Doug Flutie play in college? What was he beating up on Holy Cross? I hate Boston College. I hate Doug Flutie. I make no bones about that. But to make that comment is so completely ignorant. Boston College, when Doug Flutie was there, played everybody. They played Penn State. They played Syracuse. They played Pitt. They played Alabama. They played Clemson. They played Texas. They played everybody. And they beat Alabama that year. So what is Felger's comeback? What was Alabama's record that year? What difference does that make? You claim that they play Holy Cross and teams of that ilk. They had a long-standing traditional rivalry with Holy Cross. And they played them every year for a long time. That's right. Not who made up the bulk of Doug Flutie's opponents when Doug Flutie was there. And again, I am no huge Doug Flutie backer or supporter in any way. But you got to call the facts the facts. Did Boston College play an SEC schedule? No, they didn't. They didn't play at the highest level. But there are plenty of cupcakes in the SEC, too. You know, they got to play Kentucky in Vanderbilt, just like BC got to play Holy Cross. There's not that much of a difference.
Plus, doesn't the Heisman Trophy mean people voted, watched, decided you were the best college football player
right.
that year?
You know, he goes, they come up with some fakakta win over Miami on a Hail Mary, a four-loss Miami team. A four-loss Miami team that probably had more future pros on it than the SEC combined today. And the SEC is the best that the college game has to offer. That Miami team was loaded. The fact that they lost four games only means that they had bad drugs that year.
Uh-oh.
Oh, right. Did you see your Ray Lewis? Oh, you didn't last night. He was on the...
I watched the baseball game.
The
and
bus.
Even then, I fell asleep in like the seventh inning.
You got
missed the
into
best
one of your
game.
Little things that you like when he talks. And
oh, I love listening to him talk.
When he got to the Miami and said he was going to be the greatest player that ever played there. And then I went on, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that.
I thought Gruden was going to make love to him.
Yeah, it was a little awkward.
Yeah. Web radio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tim from Pensacola wants to call Andy out.
Hey, nice. It's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You asked.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call it?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tim from Pensacola, Florida is on it. Hey, Tim, thanks for holding on.
Bring it.
Sure thing. Andy, get to you in a second. First, let me tell you this. Fred, it is once again an honor to speak with you. On behalf of myself and everybody else, all the fans of the New England Patriots and the Patriots organization, we thank you and honor you.
Oh, geez, get off your knees.
Now, moving on.
Today, Grandpa!
As I recall, there were some loudmouths last week saying Tebow couldn't play.
He can't, and I watched him not play.
I watched the entire
game. I was one of them.
Slightly below average the first three quarters.
He sucks.
But that ending drive, you cannot deny it. He has come.
He has what?
He has come.
I can deny it.
He has arrived.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I can deny it.
Against the worst team in football or one of
and
the bottom three.
And even then, it wasn't impressive.
Excuses.
I think the more he plays, the better he's going to get.
I think the more he plays, the worse he'll be.
He threw for 40 yards through 3.5 quarters.
What was his stats in the fourth quarter? Refresh my memory.
Blah, blah, I don't know him.
You do know.
He has the highest fourth quarter passer rating in the NFL. I know. Blah, blah, blah. He's so much better. He's 10 spots better than Brady and Rodgers. I know. He's God's gift to the earth.
Two other really quick things. One, for PFW, when I think we played the Broncos, I know the perfect cover for the article of PFW.
T-Blow.
No. Beyond the Limits, Brady, the Golden Boy, versus Tim Tebow, the next big thing, or the one.
We don't have enough room on our cover for
all
that.
Are you writing Eric like covers? We like short, catchy phrases.
Tim, you all right there?
T-Blow works.
Oh, yeah. I'm eating Cheetos. Last week I was eating Chinese. And I wasn't hungover, but I was drinking the night before.
So you sound like my wife this weekend. I wasn't hungover.
You just on my head. You just went up a couple notches in my book, Tim. Nice job. Yeah. Well done.
All right, Tim.
One last thing, and then I'll let you guys go. Why? I know you said you just think he's fake, but why don't you like the guy? I mean, I didn't want him to come to the Patriots, but...
Well, it's two separate issues for
Thanks
me.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Sure.
I think he can't play. I think he'd be a nice H-back. I truly believe he could play. I'd like to take his intangibles and keep him on my team at another position that doesn't require, you know, throwing, accuracy, those types of things. But I also, I admit, I hold his followers against him, and I keep coming back to the same thing when a college analyst told me anyone who spends 5 minutes in a room with Tim Tebow is better off for it. I think that's ridiculous.
I know, but you can't.
Absolutely asinine and ridiculous.
Tim Tebow didn't say that.
But he fuels it.
He fuels it. I don't like the whole act. I don't like the.
But I think he's real.
The bowing on a knee, he's a real douche.
I don't like signing the cross. I normally don't like that, but for this guy, I think
holding hands. It wasn't the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Fred,
you were at a bad football team, and you're holding hands on the sideline for the game-winning kick.
That's fine.
And then you got to do the cross, and oh, just get it out of my face.
You're exactly the same as Andy and I, only opposite.
Like that was a funny sentence. Yeah. No. Add that one to the mix.
No, normally he goes. Normally I don't like that, but with this guy,
right?
Yeah. So you like him? Normally I don't just hate for no reason. I hate this guy for no reason. I'm not going to lie. I don't like him. I don't think it's genuine. I don't think that you're.
See, if I didn't think it was genuine, I'd be right with you.
Yeah, but you
this
thought
guy,
Lance Armstrong was genuine,
it is.
And he's not.
I think it
so
is.
So you have a bad track record here. You thought Tiger Woods was genuine, and he's not. So maybe you should come to my side because I'm always right about these frauds. Thank you. No further questions. You want me to keep talking because you're chewing? Right. You're wrong.
To be honest with you, the overwhelming feeling that I have to the guy is that I just don't think he's that good. I didn't even think he was that good at Florida.
The new thing is, sorry, but speaking of the Nike talk, you know, Lance Armstrong fraud, Tiger Woods fraud. Did you see they're already on board and they have the TT logo series? They're coming. Tiger Woods was already great when he got to Nike. Tim Tebow is not going to be great. You're wasting your time building a logo and a product line. Product lines are saved for guys like LeBron James, greatest ever. Michael Jordan, who got the Flyman, he was already great, right? The Flyman, already great. Tim Tebow, useless. He's a fullback who can't throw.
Do you remember
the game? He's a rich man's Heath Evans.
Do you remember the game
in
college that they
lost? Nike knows that he already has a base of fans.
Of Mellings like you.
But it doesn't matter.
With money that are willing to spend it on a fraud.
Exactly. It's just a business. It's not, We think he's great. We can make money off this guy. That's a joke.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. I don't. That doesn't bother me.
Save your marketing for actual talents.
Do you remember the game that they lost at Florida? I think they lost to like Kentucky or someone like that. Someone they should never lose.
Is that the one where he had to fly on the plane by himself because he was sick?
And he cried in the post game press conference.
This will never happen
and
again.
Would never. Cry me a free. I mean, if you don't think that's fake. Then I'm sorry.
I don't think it's fake.
I would love to have him covering kicks.
That was such grandstanding, and I'm.
It's about Tim Tebow.
I'm making a promise to you.
It's always about Tim Tebow.
All about him.
Ooh, we need a 2-point conversion. I'm going to audible to a quarterback draw. Oh
and,
my
oh,
God! It's
way,
about Tim Tebow.
Did you happen to see that the maybe this might be an example on Fred's side here to back up how the haters want to?
It was the proper call.
He did it wrong.
Oh.
He read two linebackers and there was only one.
Oh.
He said in the post game, I saw the two linebackers over there, and then someone went back and looked and there was only one. Like, he misread it.
But to me, I think you could have been in a goal line defense
there. It worked
out. You could have had Vince Wilfork, Albert Haynesworth all lined up in front of him. He's calling the draw there because it's about Tim Tebow. God forbid I throw a touchdown pass. It's about me.
Well,
I want to score.
This will be fun if he keeps winning.
No, it's not going to be fun for you because he gave me ammunition in a win.
See,
what do you think he's going to do when he plays an actual football team?
It's only going to be fun if he keeps winning the way he won this week.
Can you imagine
because
if he faced
me,
the Ravens, what would happen to him?
But
if he turns his back on Ray Lewis, he will break his bleeping spine.
This game was perfect, though. But this game, to me, was perfect for both sides, the Tebow lovers and Tebow haters.
Right.
Because you
it's
got everything.
Talk radio week.
Usually, you would like to think there's some sort of resolution. Either he shows that he can play, or he proves that he can't.
He proves he can't play and won the game.
And won the game. And it's
as
like,
Dion said, the greatest quote Dion's ever had, Tim Tebow, you take him to the fair and he never throws the ball through the hole, but somehow he leaves with all the stuffed animals. And that's exactly
that's a great
what
line.
Sunday was.
That's a great line.
And I agree with that.
Means he stole them.
Yeah. Let's go to Olivier.
But you agree with that, but do you want him running your team?
No, but I,
oh,
I
okay. No further questions, as Andy would say.
But I think that he's going to be successful in the NFL.
Why?
Because he's a winner.
Well, then you do want him running your team if you think he's going to be successful.
Not as successful as I want.
Well,
oh, wait. So he's just the best of the crap right now.
This is unbelievable.
If you
think you can win some games with him, but you don't think you can win, period, with him. So you're a fraud.
Let's say, hypothetically, he goes 500 the rest of the way, but the Broncos had the number one overall pick because they made a trade or whatever. Would you keep Tebow or would you take Luck?
I'd take Luck.
Okay. So move on. It's a real quarterback.
I'd take Luck.
So you're wasting all our time. You don't
think
Tim Tebow can play.
I will say this, too. I need to watch a little Andrew Luck.
He's pretty good now.
I want to see him play a little bit. Because those games start too late for me. I haven't seen a lot of him play.
I see some highlights. This guy looks like a pro.
On him.
And he's a junior.
Yes, he looks like it. But I want to see him play a little bit.
That's half the battle. I mean, Tebow doesn't look like it.
No, I'm saying he's a pocket passer, and that's what that's the preference in the NFL. But I haven't seen him actually make passes enough to make an evaluation.
But the big difference,
I don't want to anoint the guy.
It's the goal line. He drops back, and the tight end runs. He hits him in the hands.
Right.
Tim Tebow can't do that. He cannot hit the guy when he needs to in the hands.
Let's go to Olivier in Thailand. Thanks for holding on. You're calling all the way from Bangkok?
I'm calling you from Bangkok, guys. I'm doing the Hangover 4.
Easy, easy. You're getting Eric excited. He heard that phrase, and he came running in the studio.
Yeah, no. Hey, why are we wasting so much time talking about Tebow?
Because it's the bye week.
Because Fred loves him.
Oh, it's the bye week?
Okay. Yeah.
Just wanted to call and say hi.
Did you spend $5 over there yet?
From here, where?
You spend $5 over there for Sucky
Sucky?
Are you
going to let anyone talk today?
I want to know what the guy's doing.
What? $5?
Yeah, you know
you
what?
You want to make $5 the hard way?
You never Sucky Sucky $5?
All right.
Oh, no.
I don't know, brother.
I only know $20.
Oh, what's that get you?
But, yeah, the city is
BB Jones.
Four fives.
So, hopefully people will be okay.
All right. So you just
called
to say hello, Olivier?
About what you thought about T.O. I'm sorry?
Oh, T.O. Is having a workout today.
Is that off air we were talking about him?
For anyone that wants to come watch him.
But
he's trying to get back into the NFL.
Last I'd heard, Rosenhaus
didn't
said they didn't have...
Release me.
They didn't have any confirmed attendees. They were waiting to see who would show up.
Oh, I see. So it's basically it's a publicity stunt.
Well, he's trying to show people he's healthy. He wants a job. He wants to get back in the league. Fred posed the question off air. Would you take him? So I'll ask you, would you take him?
Yeah, exactly. Would we take him?
Would you?
No, I think I've got You know, I wouldn't take another Bengal guy. I think with one, it's enough, don't you think?
Well, I think Fred's saying cut Ocho Cinco and sign T.O.
Nah, I don't think they would do that. It would be like wasting all of the investment they've made for Ocho with an unknown.
You like to suck the fun out of questions, huh?
In Bangkok, what do they think of Tim Tebow?
Well, in Bangkok, they think that he's a very good guy. They think he blows.
All right, Olivier. Thanks
he's $5.
For the call.
Thanks, good stuff.
All right.
That's good stuff right there.
Enjoy the Bangkok.
Calling all the way from Thailand. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIAN is calling. Hey, Christian.
Hey, I'm calling all the way from Boston.
Oh, wow. Thanks for holding on.
What does $5 get you in Boston?
About 2 hours on a meter.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Are you calling to weigh in on Tebow?
Yeah, he sucks.
Thank
Fred,
you.
Fred, he's terrible, Fred. He cannot throw the ball. He cannot beat a defense. He's awful. Even in college, he ran that offense in college, and he just, it's not going to be, he will not be a good pro quarterback. I thought Vince Young was going to be a good quarterback, and he could throw better. I thought,
that's true.
That
I did.
Was gonna be a
I was wrong about that.
I thought Matt Leinart thought he was going to be a better pro quarterback. Because he threw better, and those guys sank. So,
Brady Quinn was going to be a good quarterback?
No, I never bought into Brady Quinn. Really.
I never really bought into Leinart that much, but not to this extent. But Young, I thought Vince Young could throw the ball well enough with his athleticism to do some stuff. Now, what you didn't know was the mental stuff. And I'm not talking about mental capacity to read a defense. He has significant mental problems, I think.
And I also wanted to talk about the Colts.
Okay.
And there's been some discussion, well, a lot of discussion centered around how Polian sort of blew this year by not having a comparable backup quarterback to Manning. But, you know, at 0-7, it certainly looks like it goes a lot deeper than that. I think, you know, the coach is one. Obviously, he doesn't seem like he is the type of guy that, you know, can sort of rally the troops. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. You know, was he a good enough coach to begin with to even be hired Caldwell?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think Christian's 100%. I think if Tony Dungy were the Colts coach, they'd be 3-4 at worst.
Well, they certainly wouldn't have given up 62 points.
Oh, forget that.
Yeah,
forget that. I mean, the first and last games they played weren't competitive. The Houston game and this game, but the other five in between were games that could have gone either way. That guy is Christian just said he was over his head and going through the moat. I totally agree with that. I have not been impressed with Jim Caldwell whatsoever. I think he's been slow to react, and it looks like he's not even really in charge. He's just not even running the show. And I also think there's an element in Indy where they're sort of accentuating this misery and throwing in the towel a little bit. Not so much with the effort that we saw Sunday night, but guys heading to IR and you know, in droves and not playing. I think, you know, they're not going all out. They're not putting all their resources to winning. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say that it's totally suck for luck and all that. But
when you have a season like that, and if what you're saying is true, Paul, that guys are kind of begging out when normally they wouldn't, do you just bounce back from that the next season, even if Manning comes back? I mean, can you just shake a season like that off
with a new coach?
Yeah, I think if you're going to have Jim Caldwell as your coach,
you have to get a new coach.
Yeah, he'll be out. He'll be out. He'll
but,
have a new
I mean,
coach.
Everybody, I know that people are lining up to take rocket shots at Polian and the Colts in general, but does anybody really think if Belichick was coaching that team would be 0-7?
No.
No, no way.
I mean, I think they made two really big errors. Number one is they didn't replace Tony Dungy. And number two, more recently, I think that Polian's decision to go out and get Kerry Collins was insane. I think that Reggie Wayne had it exactly right when he went on that rant before the season even started. You have a backup quarterback who you completely took away any chance that kid had of succeeding because you told him before the season started, you're not good enough to play.
Yeah.
Forget about whether he's good or not.
We're going to bring in a guy who's never been here before.
I'm not advocating whether or not Curtis Painter is any good. I know he's had his moments in these games where he's played reasonably well. Now, Sunday night wasn't one of them. But you completely, you looked at him and said, you can't play, kid.
Right.
That's hard to overcome.
Right.
That's hard to overcome.
Belichick did the exact opposite. Remember, he sent those veterans home.
He
and
sent
said,
veterans home.
Matt Castle's my quarterback.
We're going to sink or swim with Matt Castle.
Right.
Right.
And it took a while, by the way. It took a while. It took, you know, people forget.
He looked awful in San Diego.
Five or six. Yeah. It wasn't just San Diego. He looked awful the first 6 weeks of the season.
And specifically plays, just deer in headlight look, like couldn't play on the football field.
They'd
like
win
Painter
one,
did.
Lose one, win one, lose. Yeah.
Yeah. And they won a couple of games that were ugly. Like that first win when Tom went down. Kansas City was a train wreck that year. At home to Kansas City, we were life and death.
Right.
We won 17-10.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but you fought.
You stick with it. You keep fighting. You got a good coach. You find ways to get around it. And all of a sudden, you start winning some games. You get some confidence. And then, oh, hey, look, by week 9, 10, 11, hey, this guy's actually playing like Brady used to play.
But you know.
We're dangerous, they thought.
Christian, you got anything else before I let you go?
I'm good, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Christian. But, you know, you're absolutely right, Paul. But here's one thing, you know, this whole sucking for luck. You know, the year that Brady went down, obviously you assume Brady's going to come back the next year. We're not going to be in the running for whoever was the top quarterback. So it's a different situation. How much is that in Polian's mind that, you know what, I'm not sure Peyton Manning's coming back, unlike the Patriots were sure that Brady would.
Oh, that has to be part of the equation. But in even
I'm going to allow these guys to kind of go off onto IR. And
oh, but even if he does come back, Fred, I think you could still make an argument in Indy if you're Polian. We need to draft Andrew Luck.
Sure.
How many more years do you think you're going to get out of Manning?
Right.
This is four. What? There'd be 4 years later from when it happened to Brady.
Yep.
If that happened to the Patriots now,
it'd be
different.
That's true.
But this whole thing is a debacle for them on so many. Like, they knew he was hurt when they signed him to the extension.
Did they? That hurt?
I don't know about that.
I don't think
hurt,
they knew that he was going to miss
they
the year.
They knew he wasn't healthy.
Because I think the problem came in the surgery where it didn't go.
But that was already the second. Too. That was the second surgery.
That was the second?
Was the big problem.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I believe
sure.
that was the second, and then there was a third.
I don't think that they thought there was any chance that he wasn't going to play this season.
But now they're tied to that contract. So even if you draft Luck, it's three more years, right?
I know.
So I know it's not the same as it was. It's not going to be $60 million, but
I thought we were told they could get out of that.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
We had a conversation with someone. Someone. I put air quotes around someone, by the way. Don't you remember that? No?
Vaguely.
All right.
$28 million?
Something like that. We'll move on. Like, he was going to get 23 this year anyway.
Right.
Because he was going to be, I mean, he was going to play under a franchise tag, and 120% of his was something like $23 million.
Okay,
they didn't cost themselves that much
money. $28 million
seems
to ring a
bell. That's one of those things that's also a media fabrication that's been overblown.
Quick news update. Patriots signed defensive back Malcolm Williams. Did you guys go over that at any point?
No,
we didn't, but I did see a defensive back looking player, you know, a smaller, you know, it was either like a small running back or defensive back type. I didn't know who it was.
To the practice squad and release defensive back Josh Victorian from the practice squad. Malcolm Williams was obviously the draft pick, fifth, maybe later than that. I don't know where he came. Seventh? TCU.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Bill Berry writes in, Paul's favorite emailer.
My favorite emailer now after the photo.
He says, would you favor losing?
Was it on Twitter?
Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I think it was an email.
Would you favor losing to Miami? Obviously, this is at the end of the season. If they are openly trying to suck for luck and the bye is assured, it's a good
question. An interesting question. Would you want to face Andrew Luck for the next, whatever, decade?
Right. Just screw them up.
I would.
That's the kind of question that I really like.
I would.
Just, you know, completely.
I would do it the Bill way. You know, Mallett would start, and everybody, it's an important game for everybody who's out there, but Tom Brady's not.
But you know what? If they're seriously sucking for luck, they ain't gonna lose,
but
no matter who you play.
Make them prove it.
They ain't gonna lose. I mean, they.
So you're legitimately
gonna
ask them to throw a game.
They're not gonna beat you.
You're gonna ask them to throw a game on the football field.
Well, no, you're gonna ask your team to throw a game.
No,
that's what it's gonna take.
I'm gonna say Mallett's not ready, and we'll start Ocho and Price, two receivers who don't know the offense. So then you can't complete any passes.
I love that question. That's the best email you've ever sent, Bill Berry.
Second best.
Lyndon from Colton, California. Here are a couple things I thought about while watching the games this weekend. The Lions started 5-0, are now 5-2. Do you see them having a Bronco-esque 2009 collapse?
If Stafford is hurt, maybe.
Yep.
That would be the only way. There's way more talent on the Detroit team.
Have you guys seen Jimmy Graham play? Not bad for a guy that played only one season of college football.
Not bad for a guy who I wanted to draft over Aaron Hernandez.
And who do you think would win, a Manningless Colts
questions.
Or a Brady-less Patriots?
If,
who would win sans quarterback?
Brady's Patriots.
As Belichick is coaching, right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, if we had said coming out of that draft that this Jimmy Graham guy stinks, you'd bet that
right.
Everybody would remember.
But the fact that we loved him, and I sat up in front of 500 people and said, I want the Patriots to draft as their second tight end, Jimmy Graham, because he's going to be a star. No one remembers that.
Nope.
No one remembers that at all.
Loved him. Loved him.
Let's see. Brent writes in from Illinois. Guys, and Fred, sorry, but that shower story was too much. I think that this week is the biggest week of the year. The winner of this game will stake a claim to the top of the AFC, and looking ahead, I think that this claim might be able to last all the way to the end of the season. Hopefully the Patriots won't do what they did some years ago on Halloween in Pittsburgh and forget to show up. Anyway, I would like to hear Fred's take on the state of the Colts. Is it really just Manning? I don't think so. There is a deeper issue there, and it is coming to light now that Manning is out. What are the odds in your minds of a complete coach GM change there? The ownership cannot be happy with how the team has been built. Go Pats and Fred, are you going to be wearing your Cadillac crime fighter costume for Halloween? I'll be working, won't we? Where
no,
are we?
Monday's Halloween.
Oh, Monday's Halloween? I usually turn off all my lights and pretend I'm not home.
You're a great guy, Fred.
Yep. It definitely goes deeper than just Peyton Manning, but Bill Polian ain't going anywhere.
Well, technically, they've already passed the reins. To the other
to Chris Polian.
To Chris Polian.
But that's basically the Polians aren't going anywhere.
Well,
they're not going to blame
that?
Themselves for this and
See,
fire
I,
themselves.
I think it.
Irsay is not going to fire them.
Oh, okay. But
yeah.
There's somebody who can blame them and say, get out.
Yeah, I don't think Irsay. I think he's, you know, he's not a meddling owner for sure. He lets the running of that team fall to Bill Polian.
And he has for a decade.
Right.
But now if you're thinking about a quarterback change, whether it's yet now or 2 years away, maybe you say, let's do the whole thing. New coach, new GM, new quarterback.
Well, you
and
know,
build what
that,
we can have for a foundation
I'll tell you
for
though,
a decade.
I'll tell you, I would not, Irsay must be sweating a little bit because you just built that new stadium, you know, and it's the stadium that Peyton built. Let's face it.
Well,
and,
I mean,
but
at some
it's
point,
not his, right?
At some point, he's going away.
I know,
isn't
but
that,
you want it. You want a nice transition.
But wasn't that like one of those civically
stadium.
Funded stadiums?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that the city is probably sweating too.
Right, but he doesn't have to sweat as much as if he were public. I mean, privately financed.
True, true.
I think this is one of those things that it's a nice punchline with what's happening to Indianapolis. I know a lot of people saying they saw this coming. Fred and I argued about this morning, Andy. If Peyton Manning was quarterback and they'd be 6-1, 5-2,
probably
at worst, number one. I don't think there's really that much wrong with quote unquote how the team was constructed. I think this is just a team that was completely reliant on its quarterback, not just because of the quarterback, but because the coach is over his head.
Right.
And I think if Bill Belichick were the coach of that team, You'd be lauding them the way you lauded the 2008 Bill Belichick coach Patriots, because that was a great coaching job he did that year with, you know, keeping that team together. I don't think the Colts are that bad.
Joel in Merrimack says, hey guys, no Eric, Eric Hay? Eric?
What does it look like?
E-R-I-Q-U-E, Eric?
Enrique?
There's no N in there.
Enrique?
Good call. Okay, I've heard everything from Tebow is God to Tebow sucks the root. Wow, the media has a serious hard-on for that guy. From what I've seen so far, he has a long way to go in order to become an NFL quarterback. His mechanics are kind of odd-looking, and it doesn't look like he runs his progressions very well. But I think you have to give him time. He took over for Kyle Orton, who in my opinion was a Jag, who took over for Rex Grossman at Chicago, who in my opinion was even a bigger Jag. So what does that make Tebow? Another in a long line of Jags. You know, Denver is going nowhere in the first place, so it behooves the organization to put him in and see what happens. I think if they expect him to be a pocket passer, they're in trouble. But if he can cause enough doubt in the defense, he might be able to earn a job. I think my best argument is the amount of Jag quarterbacks that are currently in the NFL. Ultimately, I don't think he will last, but he is kind of fun to watch in that running around kind like a chicken with his head cut off fashion. Keep up the great show.
They definitely are in the whatever the however they want him to do, they're in the fish or cut bait. He's a first round pick. We got to decide, do we stick with him for any more period of time or do we get rid of him?
I agree.
I don't know what they're rooting for.
They need to play him and they need to suffer through the games like Sunday where he, you know, you can't make the play. I agree with you on that, Fred. They got to give him some time. You got to let him play. You can't just say, well, you know, he had two really bad games. We got to make a move. You got to just let him play. And don't let him have him look over his shoulder. Just go out there and say, listen, Tim, you're the starting quarterback. You're going to play for the foreseeable future. You know, I don't know if you can just say you're going to play the rest of the year, but make him go out there and know you're the guy.
But I also
make mistakes, make plays, be the guy.
And I also think they can't expect him to do things he can't do. And, like, if you're playing the Detroit Lions and you don't have
– what, like throw?
If you're playing the Detroit Lions and you don't expect if you're not asking Tebow to run, then you're going to make a big mistake. You better have some run design plays for Tebow against the Lions, or it's going to be a real long day.
And then you better have your backup quarterback ready to play.
Well, yeah, run him until he gets hurt, because that's the only thing he's going to have in his pocket to beat these guys.
But
that's the only chance they have.
But
you know,
but this is, and you and some other people that are on your side on this seem to think this is like a negative, old time establishment point of view. I think it's been proven, and Michael Vick is a perfect example. You can win games like that from time to time. You can't win consistently doing that.
And he's not even close to Michael Vick.
If you want to sit there and say you got to put plays in the playbook where he's running the ball and say, yeah, you might be able to beat Detroit doing that Sunday. But you're not going to win in the long haul doing that because he's going to get hurt. Running quarterbacks get hurt.
Sandeep in Virginia says, forget Tebow for a minute. Let's look at Vince Young, who energized the Titans a couple seasons ago. Young won more games than he lost with the Titans. Vince Young is athletic. However, his throwing action looks like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Young couldn't recognize blitzes. Young couldn't make all the passes that an NFL QB needs to make. Granted, Young isn't winning any awards for Person of the Year, but this has nothing to do with his inability to play quarterback. Tebow is a great human being. He's a bad quarterback, period. End of story. The Broncos probably want to see what they have in Tebow, and that's why they're starting him. They know what they have in Orton, an average quarterback at best. One more thing. It's bad that I have to put up with the nonsense on ESPN to watch Monday Night Football. It also means that when the Patriots play Monday night, it means only two PFW in Progress shows the following week and listen to the nonsense from the local radio stations. I have Patriots football fever, and the only prescription is more PFW in Progress. Come on, Fred, use your powers to bring more shows per week.
Well said, Sandeep, on the Tebow stuff. People are trying to bring reason to Fred. He's just ignoring
it. We need a
it.
Break on Tuesday, too, after a Monday night game. That's another one of the problems.
Well, unless we get rid of the paper.
Right, well.
I think it would just go all radio all the time. I'm ready. I'm ready for that transition.
It's the age of the audio.
Matt writes and he says, I was in the Give Tebow a Chance camp until just now when I heard Felger was a ringleader. He's terrible. There you go.
No, I do think that he deserves a chance. That's one area that I agree with you, Fred, the way you keep saying. He doesn't know how to do those things now. But we don't know that he won't be able to do those things a year and a half from now.
Well, why didn't he learn him in the last year and a half?
Because he didn't have to.
But I'm not asking.
He's been a pro quarterback for over a year and a half.
But he wasn't in game situation. I mean, I think he's one of those. Bill Belichick talks about different types of players. Some players can learn in the classroom. Some have a
not fundamentals. You don't change your fundamentals.
No,
no, you're 100% wrong.
Just your whole Bill Belichick analogy blows up because he would never have stepped on the field if he didn't prove he could do those things.
With bad fundamentals can adjust and learn to adapt. Given those fundamentals.
Not on the field.
And I think that Tebow may be one of those guys that has to be in the situation in order to learn.
No, the exact opposite. When it breaks down, he reverts to his ugly throwing motion, poor mechanics, bad step, everything.
And then wins in the fourth quarter.
Against, I just almost said a bad word, as Paul would say, a poop bum football team.
That was playing, I think, pretty hard that day because they're,
Sergio Brown was playing hard in Oakland.
It's not about
when you
playing
suck, you
hard.
Suck.
Those two bad football teams.
Is Jacksonville good?
No.
I mean, they play
but
hard.
But they're way better than Miami.
Their defense
light
played
years
really
better
hard
than
last
Miami.
Night.
Light years better than Miami.
And I think
Miami.
Miami's defense was playing really hard that day.
It doesn't matter if you suck and play hard, you still suck.
They don't suck.
They were playing
defense,
really hard.
The
they were the worst.
Terrible.
Who's the best player
it
on their defense?
It is terrible.
You have no idea.
Miami is a terrible defense. They're one of the worst defenses in football.
Well, they played some pretty good teams.
Oh God.
You just
stop.
Have an excuse for everything. This is why people don't like the guy. Because they make excuses for him all the time.
Brett in Orlando says, I agree that Tim Tebow blows monkey balls. I'm only glad that he's playing so he can finally fail, go back to the bench, and then go to the backup halfback position where he belongs or out of the league. I want him to fail just so his fans will shut up that he's the second incarnation of Christ the God and wants him to succeed. As much as Tebow fans hate his critics because they think he's a good player, and that we don't like him because he's religious, they equally have no reason but the fact that he's religious to like him. A great contest might be to ask, who's more fake, Tebow or Cam Newton? You guys might think that the Monday night game was the worst you've ever seen, but I live in Orlando, and I had to watch the Broncos-Dolphins game, so I decided it would be more enjoyable to visit Bed Bath & Beyond with my girlfriend. Lastly, I don't think the Jets have made it. They beat the Chargers. And that's what the Chargers do, is underachieve and lose close games in the fourth quarter with stupid mistakes and mental breakdowns.
You know what I'll cheer to? I
agree with that, too. I you know, in terms of the Chargers had that game, you know, had a chance to put that game away, and they couldn't.
I'll cheer Tim Tebow when he truly becomes a team player and realizes he can't play the quarterback position and plays special teams and covers kicks. If he does that, I legitimately will become a Tim Tebow fan. I don't think he'll do it because he's way more of a fraud than Newton, because you know what Newton said when he was coming into the league? I want to be an icon. I want to revolutionize the position. He's honest. He's telling you what he's going to be. Then people get mad, and he kind of covers it up with PR spin, but it's about him, and he lets you know it's about him.
My feelings on both of those guys are very, very similar, Tim Tebow and Cam Newton.
Oh, I'm not, because I don't think Newton's a fraud. I think he's a used car salesman pimp, and he
like
enjoys
him.
Being a used car salesman pimp,
I
and
don't
he's going
like
to win, and the biggest issue is he can throw, and Tebow
I think
can't.
He's a scumbag. That's why I don't like him.
But when has he ever pretended to not be a scumbag?
So just because you're a genuine scumbag,
yes.
I have to like you?
I like genuine people. Be who you are.
I don't like Tebow because I don't think he's genuine, but just because he's genuinely
person,
bad
like
doesn't
whoa.
Mean I like him. I think he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't
just
know.
Because he's a genuinely bad guy doesn't mean I have to like him.
I don't know. I mean, what's a bad guy?
A guy who shops his services
well,
for money.
It takes one to know one, Andy. I mean, you
well,
know.
Well, no, I mean, bad guy in terms of...
You like bad guys because you are one.
I don't necessarily think he's a bad guy. What I hate more than bad
then
guys...
he really is a fraud because he's a good guy playing a bad guy.
What?
You said he comes right out and says that he's, you know...
No, but do you think he's legitimately, like, kill puppies bad guy? Or
no, I mean...
No, and I don't think he's
don't think
as bad
he's,
as Paul
I don't think
he
he's a criminal.
I think his
no,
dad...
No,
well, I mean,
no, Fred, no. I don't
no,
think
he's
a criminal type of guy.
Criminal
but,
things in his life.
No, but I mean...
I mean, the laptops
listen,
and stuff.
When he was a,
and,
yeah, but listen, there's a lot of guys
okay,
that do
I just
silly...
I want to make sure.
But there's a lot of guys that do silly, stupid things, especially college kids. To me, there's a difference between shopping your services for money, and please don't tell me that was his father and not him. Don't insult me.
Well, I thought it was.
But the laptop.
That's what I heard.
No, that's how the NCAA let him actually play in the BCS championship
okay.
game. You don't really believe that,
I don't
do you?
Know. That's what that's
no,
all
but,
I know.
But just ask me, do you really believe that he didn't have anything to do with that?
Oh, I'm sure he
okay.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Otherwise, you would have been called a liar.
But that's, no, I'm saying okay, but I don't buy it. I'm not, again, this is about everybody's opinion.
Right.
But laptop thing, I'm not saying that's right, and that was a good thing that he did, you know, the whole stolen laptop thing, but I think college kids get themselves in stupid situations.
Right.
I don't necessarily think he's a bad guy because of that.
Right.
But the, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to Mississippi State and then to Auburn and this, and you know, I think you are a bad guy when you're involved in stuff like that. A businessman.
Andrew writes in, and let's see, where is Andrew
Ukraine.
From? He is from Utah.
Oh.
He says, okay, guys, I have
you.
To
call it you.
I have to.
You.
I have to chime in about this Tebow thing.
See, I love that people hate us talking about it, but no one can not comment
right.
on it.
I have to admit, I somewhat enjoyed watching him play in college. His energy and emotion was fun to watch, but I never saw him as a good quarterback. In my opinion, he has never thrown the ball well, and he was just blown away. And he was just as blown away as anyone when he was drafted that high in the first round. But there is nothing more ridiculous or more annoying than all this Tebow talk this year. He sucks. He's not a pro quarterback. He wasn't even a good college quarterback. His annoying sideline reactions is just that, annoying.
Yep.
This is the pros. In my mind, quit acting like you're still in high school. I think all his emotion celebrations are evidence that he doesn't even believe in himself. Look at the most successful quarterbacks. How do they act? Like professionals, not like high school teenagers surprised when something goes better than they believe. Quit it. You suck, Tebow. You know it. We know it. Now, I don't hate him as a person because I haven't met him. And so I am not better for it. I guess you could say I am worse person because I haven't met him. But I don't care what he is like as a person. All I know is he sucks on the field as a quarterback. If he wants to be successful in this league at all, then he needs to play another position. So, Andy and Paul, I agree he is horrible, and the Broncos are 2 to 3 years away from kicking this Tebow thing. But since I hate the Broncos, I'm happy.
You know what's really going to be fun? The week we play them.
Yes. It will be.
Tell you who it'll be most fun for. Patriots defense.
You know what that'll be a coming out game.
You know what it'll be great for? Fred when he switches.
Andre Carter will look like defensive player of the year.
I'll tell you
day.
Right now, I'm picking the Lions this week. I don't think he's going to win. You know?
Okay.
Huh? Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Is Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up, Eldridge?
I'm doing pretty good. Enjoyed the bye, enjoyed the win last weekend. But I got to disagree with you on Cam Newton, man. He's 10 times better than Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
As a player?
Who said he was?
Oh, absolutely.
And he can throw, and he get after two. He hasn't lost those games. If he should let him down. Yeah,
no, we weren't talking about ability. We were talking about off-field.
If Carolina can put some players around him, he has a chance to maybe be one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
He could literally revolutionize the position. I know we say that every few years about somebody, the flavor of the month, but his arm, his ability, I think his size,
he's
I think he
get
could
revolutionize.
He probably
if
will.
If he doesn't stop running around
but
like that,
if
he's
he can
get
play more
too.
Like you know, I think Cunningham later in his career learned. Culpepper, when he was at his best, I think was athletic enough to help himself, but didn't look to run.
Yeah.
I think he can be great. Roethlisberger, because he's got that size and he can keep plays alive, but he has a better arm than Roethlisberger, and I think he has a throws a better ball.
Yeah, he's played remarkably well, but no one here has ever said that physically those two are similar. I'm talking about off field.
Okay, well, I got another question for you. Our defense, they looked a little bit better against Dallas, but we still need some help in the secondary. And, what do y'all think about that? Think they're going to get somebody else to replace him? Or get somebody to help him? Because Roger Dowling, he ain't showed nothing yet either.
I think what you see is what you get for the most part. They just need to play better. Their top four corners, other than Arrington, has played, I guess, okay, but the other three haven't played up to their expectations.
Or haven't played.
Or haven't played.
Right.
What I'm looking at is David Washington is still sitting out there as a free agent. He's better than what the other three that we got. And plus, he's fast, he can cover. And he got, 5-8 years of experience in? So that should be helped. But another thing I'm disappointed in, I know y'all might jump me down for this, is Chad Ochocinco.
No, I think everybody's disappointed in him.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything.
Probably no one...
Who's not disappointed in what he's not done so far?
Including him.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, we had a young receiver, 6'3", to run, catching during the preseason, and they cut him, Tajon Underwood. I think I would have kept him and got rid of Ocho right now. At least he did know the plays. He was catching from Hoyer and Mallett. Never got the chance catching him from Brady.
Yeah.
I think Brady made him shine a little bit.
Wasn't he here a week?
Yeah, he was here 1 week. Eldridge, and you know, he had that one game where they targeted him in a couple series.
I guess is they
caught a couple
plays.
Passes.
They obviously signed him to play in that last preseason game, and
literally probably taught him three plays and said, "These are the ones you're going to run."
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but he ran them.
Ah, that's true. At least he did that.
And he got the speed. Yeah, and he got the speed.
And didn't he have like four drops and four receptions? Yes. Wasn't he like 50-50?
Yeah.
I don't know, 50-50.
I think it was 50-50.
I don't go with it. Yeah, I don't think it was 4-4.
He dropped as many as he caught, I believe, yeah. All right, Aldridge, thanks for calling. I think the defense will get better. I think you're right.
He wants to sign people because he doesn't think they're going to get better, you fraud.
I love when Fred sides.
Try to listen to the caller.
He sides with people blind.
Right.
Let's see. Jess writes in. He says, the Colts gave Manning an extension without making him pass a physical. Is that true? I don't know.
It sounds right to me. I don't know.
But I do recall this conversation more and more now. They do have an out.
There's, you know, and it's not like a Scott Free out.
It's
like
a February bonus that's due or something.
Yes. Now, I think he'll get the bonus. because I think they think he's probably going to play. But if it's determined that he will never play again or something
like, like Frankenstein.
Yeah, if it's determined that he'll never play again, I don't think they cost themselves that much money.
Whoa,
what?
Don't we have a wedding to talk about?
That's true. B-Lo got married over the weekend. That's what you guys were doing, right? You were
B-Lo.
You weren't invited.
You guys, well, I think there's some kind of oversight.
No,
yes.
I
had to be some kind
don't
of
think you were
up.
Invited. Of the about 250 people there, you didn't make the cut of the top 250.
There
in
must
your
have
life.
Been some. It must have got lost in the mail or something.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think you were wanted.
You sure?
Yeah.
My first
sure.
ever Jewish wedding, Freddie.
Really?
Mazel tov!
I had never been to one before. Enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah. They dropped his dad in the chair dance, but you know, it happens.
But he was okay. He landed on his feet.
Yeah.
I think he knew it was coming.
But Paul, you were upset you got into an argument with the waitress?
That's not true.
You didn't get your food until after 10 o'clock?
I didn't get my food.
Well, pretty much everyone didn't get their food until like 10
o'clock.
But
that was a guy. There was a waiter.
Well, you fought the woman later.
I didn't fight anybody, Andy.
You had words with her.
No, that's incorrect.
Oh, I sensed it.
You were snide with her.
You gave her attitude.
No, later in the night, I didn't get my meal. Myself, No Socks, and his wife did not get their meals either. And there was, I think, 11...
Hot dogs and sausages.
11 people at the table. Three of us didn't get meals until about an hour after everybody was finished eating. And then later, we got cake, and I was literally the only one at the table not to get cake. You know, you don't hold out on a fat guy when cake comes.
Sure.
So
he even had this whole thing. He's like, I'm going to make sure this is here so they'll know if I'm not at my seat that I'm still here. And
I wanted to make sure.
Paul wasn't even drinking, so
well,
all he had was food.
Yeah, because he wasn't drunk. He maybe had two beers or something, one beer.
Yeah, and I had my napkin was on the table, and I took it off. This is Andy's right. I took my napkin off the table and put it on my chair because I was standing up there, and I didn't want them to think, well, I'm done for the night. I wanted him
to know, which I said, you were actually sitting in your chair when dinner was served and they didn't bring you a meal. Right. How is the napkin going to work?
So the fight, the quote unquote fight that Andy's referencing was, they came over and asked if I wanted coffee. And I said, no, but I would love a piece of cake. Now, this is again,
after I'd already eaten my
after
cake.
After everybody else had already eaten their
Here
cake.
Here we go.
Everybody had already eaten their cake. And I said, no, but I'd love a piece of cake.
Oh, you did not say it like that.
That's,
you're full of.
That is word for word.
No, but
the
I'd
tone.
Love a piece of cake.
No, but I'd love a piece of cake. That's
no,
exactly
was,
what I said.
No, but
exactly
I'd love a piece
how
of cake.
I said it.
I'd love a piece
no,
of cake.
No, but I'd love a piece of cake.
No, that's
yes,
not.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
That's not what I said.
I heard it.
That's not how I said it, and that's
you did
not
say it in the sing-songy, nice little
exactly
kid tone.
It's exactly how
said.
I said it, and then she replied, yeah, we're working on that. And that's when the tone came
Uh-oh.
Up.
That's true.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're working on that. I said, well, that's what you told me about the meal, and I got that an hour after everybody else ate theirs.
Yeah.
That's the tone that Andy's talking about.
And then, what did she say?
And she goes, you didn't get your meal yet? I said, no, I got it an hour after everybody else.
Which was already late when
everybody else was everybody else had already eaten for an hour when I got my meal.
What was the meal, by the way?
Chicken. Which, mine was stuffed, had sliced in the middle, and there was some kind of yummy cheese. The chicken was actually pretty good, and there were a big thing of mashed potatoes.
I didn't get that.
Paul didn't have mashed potatoes, and there was no cheese in his chicken. It was
just
a
got a piece
chicken.
Of chicken?
I think they ran to Popeye's and stole it from Josh Beckett.
Oh, wow.
It
was true.
Wow. Well, and the guy told you, oh, we got to make some more.
Yeah,
but otherwise, it was a good time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was a great time.
Paul, I didn't
great
even
band.
Go to the wedding.
Yeah, I'm sure there was some type of mix-up in why
best
I wasn't
band
invited.
I've ever seen at a wedding.
Yeah?
Eight person. They had like all
it was
these
a great
different
time.
Voices, so they could do a million different songs. Like I told you, they did Katy Perry, and a woman sang the Katy Perry, and then there was this black guy doing the Snoop part. There was this drummer who was doing like the Bee Gees, that high-pitched, you know, that whole thing. They were tremendous. Tremendous.
Yeah, there had to be some mix up.
B-Lo brought in some cake, Paul, from his rehearsal dinner. And there was an actual picture of him and his bride to be on
well,
the cake.
There was a little bit too much of them at this wedding.
Yeah, so I.
Well, it
I,
was their wedding.
I,
yeah,
a little
course,
too much, though.
Only Andy Hart can complain about there being too much of the bride and groom.
I mean,
at a
I
wedding.
Get my little bag in the room. You know, when you check in and they thank you for staying over and give you some snacks, and you got these big lollipops with their mugs all over them, and just. Ooh. They went all out on the bags, though.
So this morning
you got
in
to
the
lick
conference
Brian?
Room, I cut B-Lo's
I licked her
head
instead.
Out of the cake and ate it. And B-Lo was like, I was wondering when I got this cake, you know, who would eat my face? And he's like, the guy that didn't even go to the wedding ate it.
So did you get to go too, Kevin?
No, I didn't go. I wasn't invited, just like you, Fred.
The wedding was actually pretty cool, too. Like,
it was
they
really
did,
nice.
I
was
at the Colonial
They circled each
Clash.
Other, and then they circle each other again.
And I guess that's a variation of tradition, talking to some people about it. It was
and
nice.
And then they wrote letters to each other, which the rabbi, she's a rabbi, right? Is that what that's called, a woman?
I think so.
Rabbi? She read Belo's went on and on and on, and hers was like three sentences. Hers was very good.
And said the same thing.
Exact same thing, just left out all the fluff that Belo fills in. Anyone who's listened to him on the radio here knows he's got some extra words.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Patriots today.
And we did not wear hats when we went in.
I didn't, unquote. I didn't wear the yarmulke.
No?
But
just out of, you know, just
being stubborn? Well, Belo told us not to.
He said we didn't need to.
He didn't say not to, but he said you don't need to. It's not a big deal. Either way, whatever you – they'll be available, but you don't need to. It's not a big deal. And evidently he told no socks. Well, it's a sign of respect. Now, if he had told Andy and I it was a sign of respect, I would have worn it. I don't know how I would have gotten it to stay on my head, but I would have worn it.
Some of that little poster stuff.
You wouldn't have found one to fit Andy's big fat head.
They had to give him a blanket.
I just think, like, if I don't know why I'm wearing it, if I don't really know why I'm wearing it, I probably shouldn't be wearing it. You know what I mean? That it's a sacred thing that I don't know the meaning of.
No, it is a respect thing, because it's like when I was a kid in the Catholic Church, the women had to wear hats in mass. The women all wore hats.
You know
hats.
We're talking about yarmulkes, right?
Yeah, we're
talking about hats. When
I was little, you didn't have to.
No.
And they were all the same. I found that interesting.
Although I will say,
some people would bring their own, and they didn't.
Fred, when we were kids growing up going to church, you had to not like put a suit and tie on or anything, but you had to kind of dress for church.
Right.
On Sunday, you didn't like walk in with like shorts and a tank top.
You
on.
Don't have to anymore? I mean, I don't go to church very often,
but. You know, like I would never wear jeans to church I was a kid.
I would have a button-down shirt and pants on.
People do absolutely.
I wouldn't wear a suit,
and
but
the
I
church
would have...
is just happy to have them.
Well, yeah.
They just want the money when they pass the plate around.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, it was a lovely affair.
Good.
Oh, and
I'm sure I was some
not invited. Up. I'm sure you weren't.
You're
I'm
sure there was a mix invited.
Because a lot of times the mail gets lost, and you know.
Yeah, it didn't.
we really thought there was a chance, and Beth was even saying this as we were driving. She goes, I would be surprised if Nikki just sent the invitation back, and it's like, it's going to be 3:00 on Saturday afternoon. She's going to go, are you going to get ready? We got to go to the wedding.
Tiff in Wisconsin says, why is Cam Newton a bad guy? Paul doesn't think Cam is a bad guy for the laptop theft, but Paul thinks he's a bad guy for some alleged pay-to-play allegation that the NCAA concluded was unfounded.
It's not alleged.
According
it
to
happened.
The NCAA investigation, there was no pay-to-play for Cam Newton in Auburn or Mississippi State.
That's not true.
By the way, Andy is absolutely right about Tim Tebow. He is a fraud and a douchebag. Whoa. Tebow followers are incredibly annoying.
Tiff, that seems a little out of character to use that phrase from you. Isn't G nice? Doesn't she yell at us for being mean sometimes?
Gene in Daytona says...
But we are mean sometimes. We deserve to be yelled at for that.
Gene in Daytona says, I was at the B-Lo wedding because I received an invite addressed to Fred Kirsch, so I went. So don't be hard on B-Lo. I saw Paul arguing about Tim Tebow with some landscaper and with Tone.
Even Eric went, Fred.
Yeah.
After he put out
B-Lo
a hit
and
on,
I are B-Lo and I are boys.
After he put out a hit on somebody with the suit that he had on.
Oh, you had your like black pinstripe suit on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or gray?
It's black. I had a black one. I do have a gray one, but I wore the black one to the wedding.
Wide pinstripe.
Wide, is that what you said?
It's
or
a wide pinstripe. It's very
it's a natural.
You look like a gangster from Dick Tracy.
That's
Yeah.
Right.
30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Tommy gun.
Your little violin case. Yeah.
Yeah. The fedora pulled low, cigarette hanging off the side of the mouth.
Yeah, but Eric's here.
He had a woman next to him.
Eric just came from practice. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, never mind. I'm not going to say it because you'll get mad.
What's going on at practice, Eric?
Good news for Marcus Cannon, who made his debut.
Nice.
Oh, okay. As we alluded to earlier in the show, we thought that might happen.
Yeah.
Ryan
Waters really took the wind out of that, though.
Anytime Bill says, we might see him. Probably a pretty good bet you're going to see him.
And did you notice Bill at the time when you first saw it? Did he go, Marcus Cannon's out here. I didn't see that coming. Yeah. He was also, you know, I don't know if he took note, but his quarterback was back on the field this week.
Oh, he doesn't take roll.
No, he doesn't. But so we have to inform him of that. Yeah, Tom Brady was back.
You should do that tomorrow in the press. Bill, I don't know if you noticed Brady was out there yesterday.
I wouldn't if I were you. I might tell somebody who was upset by that last week and see if she'll do it. But
she struggled yesterday on the conference call. Not as much as I did, though.
Fred actually thought Troy Polamalu was Gerard Mayo, who was Defensive Player of the Year last year.
Did you hear
the
Bill Belichick?
Yes.
I came in late, and I heard the tail end of her question. I thought she was talking about Mayo. So when Bill kind of...
When he said he was Defensive Player of the
Year. But you
would
have thought when Fred heard him say... Wasn't he the Defensive Player of the Year last year? Fred would go, it can't be Mayo, because he wasn't the Defensive Player of the Year, and I covered this team, and I know this team. So anyway.
But he can't say
either
that.
Way, either way, it was fun to listen to.
Yes. So the only absentee was Dane Fletcher, whose absence is a little bit surprising. It wasn't at all last week. Not there again today. And
must
maybe
be
he's
more
with
than
BB
the
Jones.
Hand now,
he's with the wrong BB.
Yes, he's
supposed
with
this BB.
No, he's with the right BB. I've
well,
seen pictures.
Yeah.
The right BB.
She's not that great, Andy.
I think she's pretty hot.
Oh.
I think she's got fake cans, but.
Yeah.
I don't think she's hot at all.
No.
Oh, I do.
No.
And she knows how to forget it.
She's one of those that, because she puts out, guys hung around her.
Well, wait a minute. She's a big-breasted, blue-eyed blonde.
But they're fake. Before she
well,
had that done.
About, I don't care about being
no,
fake.
I
don't think she's that attractive.
Right.
And it's not just because of porn stuff.
Have you
I mean,
seen
like,
any of the
Jenna
photos?
Jenna Jameson, I think, in her day, was stunning.
Have you seen the photos? Because she's pretty hot. I mean, she's pretty classic blue-eyed blonde
well,
hot.
I don't know.
I thought she looked like yeah. she had stringy kind of yeah.
wait
thin
in the,
hair. And
are you talking about in the jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't look good in that. I looked at about 3,000 photos that Bill Berry sent us.
Okay.
She's smoking.
Well, what you did, you know, in your own time.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't do that.
I'm guessing that those were, you know, a little bit different and that they were probably enhanced in some way.
Oh, well, what do you mean, her breasts or the pictures?
Oh, the pictures.
Well, some of them were professional. Some were kind of raw.
Like dirty. Cell phone type video or picture quality?
Well, low-level porn.
Anything else, Eric?
We got some black shirts this week because okay. it's actually an official practice week. Yeah. Andy likes to try to guess on these.
Quarterbacks. One
no.
of the quarterback.
Did nope.
he win one for being
nope.
Romo?
Nope. None of them.
Shane Vereen?
Nope.
No.
Ross Ventrone?
Nope.
Oh, somebody playing Wallace, right?
Nope.
No?
Fred, they
beat. Well, they didn't play the Steelers yet,
Oh, it's
Fred.
Not a scout thing?
No, it's from the previous.
Oh.
No, it is, yeah. but it's a
but
week
it's
delayed.
Week. Yeah.
If they beat Pittsburgh, somebody who played Wallace may win it.
Right, and somebody who plays Polamalu, Ross Ventrone, who was wearing a green jersey.
Because of the hair.
Oh, the hair.
And the hair, yeah.
She was at the, I forget it.
That was,
well,
yeah.
somebody must have been playing DeMarcus Ware.
There was a handsome woman at the,
yeah, Markelle Carter.
A little
Markelle
bit,
Carter.
Like,
no. But you're in the right area. Alex Silvestro.
Would have never picked him.
Yeah, but he got
one.
No,
he's on the team.
A lot of
sounds like a conductor. And tonight's conductor will be Alex Silvestro.
A lot of O linemen. You got the two practice squatters, Welch. Well, there's more than two of them, but Welch and Copa won the shirts, and Ryan Wendell won one, and that leaves just one left. Guy who's been getting it a lot this year, kind of under the radar, Antoine Molden.
Okay.
Not sure why, but.
Eric, weigh in on Tim Tebow quickly, if you will.
I thought it was a great performance at the end there. I mean, not the rest of it was atrocious from what I was able to glean
Ass.
Off the highlights. But the guy wins. I mean, yeah, he doesn't. He had a wide open. Was it Eric Decker or one of those guys?
Was
wide
Decker.
Open downfield. Should have hit him. Any quarterback should hit them in this league. But he won. And granted, it was against a terrible team, probably one of the worst teams in the league. But he's got to start somewhere. I know it was his fourth. What is his fourth career start?
Yeah, he's 2-2 now.
But now that he's officially the guy going forward, at least for the rest of this year, he's got to start somewhere. And he, you know, I'm not going to pick him to win this week. I think the Lions are a better team. But hey,
yeah.
he's got something.
I'm glad you're taking a leveled view of it. Scott writes in.
You're not.
I'm guessing these two didn't.
I am taking a leveled view.
These
no,
two didn't,
not.
Fred?
I think
is that,
he
is
has
that
a chance to be good.
These two didn't.
Oh,
they
what
hate
you
him.
Said.
Vehemently. Hate him.
But I don't know how you can.
Why is there
why
both? I think he stinks and hate him. They're,
those, yeah,
those
why
are
two
do you,
separate
two
separate
why do you hate
him?
I think he's a fraud, and I hold his followers against him.
But I'm much more interested in the fact that I don't think he can play.
You think he's a fraud as a person?
Yeah, I think it's all about Tim Tebow. As much as he tries to say it's team, I think it's about Tim Tebow. I don't think it's a coincidence that he called a audible to a draw for the two-point conversion.
It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, that's fine. It's about Tim Tebow. He's happier with Tim Tebow in the spotlight.
Yeah. I don't know.
He spells Tim Tebow with an I.
I'm just judging on his play.
Most people do.
T-I-M.
Too,
yeah.
I mean, I don't,
it's kind of hard not to.
I don't think it's what you're looking for to throw for 40 yards through 3.5 quarters. I mean,
Scott writes in, if you compare Tim Tebow to Matt Cassel after 3 years in training camp, there wasn't much of a difference. Conditions on the ground can change. I also hear that the Patriots match up well against the Steelers. So before this gets repeated another 100 times, can you break down what those matchups are? I always see Pittsburgh as a bully the way Tyson once was. And if you punch him back and use your head, They can be beaten, but I can't break it down much more than that.
I'll tell you one thing they do. One of my pet peeves when I see great pass rushers, they get them out in coverage. They get matchups where they get James Harrison and those types dropping into coverage more often than they're coming. And they are far better players when they're coming toward the quarterback rather than when they're moving away from him. Yeah, That's one.
I agree with Andy. I think it's the opposite. I think you don't beat them by punching them in the mouth. That's what they want you to do. They want you to pound away and try to punch them
play their game.
Maybe
this year a little more, but
that's what they want. They want you to get into a physical game. Where I think the Patriots excel against Pittsburgh is they spread them out and they out-finesse you.
And I think they take advantage of Polamalu's aggressiveness and get him out of position a lot.
I couldn't agree
Harrison
more.
Harrison is still out this week, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So they'll dodge a bit of a bullet there.
A little bit.
But I feel like Woodley's leading the AFC in sacks.
Right.
If you want to try to get into that physical mucking kind of game with them, Pittsburgh is all too content to do that.
Sure.
I think where you beat Pittsburgh is by getting them out of position. And that's what they do. Andy just said it perfectly with Clark and Polamalu. They're two physical safeties, but they're not great in coverage.
Right.
And I think the Patriots take advantage of that.
Right. The Patriots, but not a lot of teams can. It's because of Brady.
Of course it is.
That they can take
That's always the answer to this question. If you want to just boil it down, it's because of Brady.
And when we had Matt Cassel, we tried to do the same things and we got killed.
Right.
But I mean, you know, there's not a lot
because they get sacked.
The reason why Pittsburgh has been successful is because there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can take them out of position like Brady can.
And offenses. I mean,
it's decision making and accuracy quick.
Yes.
You know, you want to go five wide against Pittsburgh. Yeah, you could do that. But you better get the ball out quick, and Brady does it.
And that's, you know, you're watching Blaine Gabbert last night, and, you know, prototypical size, strong
arm. By the
arm,
way, I don't think he is going to be a very good quarterback either. And
but,
I didn't think but, so but coming out of college for a lot of the same reasons.
You know, one of the big differences between guys like him and guys that have experience is they don't make quick decisions.
Well, you can't.
You know?
You just flat out can't. Until you experience it,
yeah.
You just have no idea. I mean, it's like the first time you merge onto the highway, you're like, son of a gun, these cars are going fast.
It's a good analogy.
And then once you're done it a while, you just merge in, you get in the high-speed lane, and you go 80 with everybody else.
Once you do it, then you get on the highway, and you're like, these people are going so slow, I'm trying to merge onto the highway.
But the very first time, you're like, wow, these guys are cooking.
That's a very
good
analogy.
You're going 40 miles an hour,
and
45.
For Gabbert right now, I don't know whether he'll be good or not, but right now,
he's trying to merge, and he's having a hard time.
He made the mistake of stopping on the on-ramp, and everybody's just going by him, and he can't sneak in.
I haven't watched any of him really as a pro, so I can't comment on like last night or what he's done so far, but at Missouri, I thought he was one of those guys that
Paul's the only football writer who doesn't watch football.
I tell you every week I don't watch the Monday night game. And other than that, when did you have a chance to watch Jacksonville?
I know.
Why would you?
They don't get
to,
on
yeah.
TV too much.
And basically,
even in Jacksonville.
And by what you were telling me, I'm very glad that I chose not to watch last.
Well,
night.
But I'm telling you, it was so bad. You're kind of glad you watched it.
Oh yeah, it was.
It's like a measuring stick game the wrong way.
But at Missouri, I thought that he was a guy that did a lot of. A lot of horizontal stuff. He never wowed me with his ability to stick one in downfield, throw a quick.
Oh, that's what they said.
Throw a 15-yard out.
Didn't play very good teams.
A lot of quick. Well, he played great. I mean, he played in the Big 12. It wasn't a lack of. I mean, Oklahoma and Texas. Those are good teams. Blaine Gabbert played for Missouri.
I thought they because I was looking at the pre thing and they
said,
well,
the question was about defenses. That the defenses in that league aren't great because it was in the era when Bradford, him, and Colt McCoy
were
putting up. Hundreds and hundreds of yards every week.
I just looked at him as a guy who would throw a lot of quick screens to like Jeremy Maclin, and Maclin would run 70 yards.
But that's a challenge you face with a lot of quarterbacks.
See, I'm not sure on him.
I mean,
Andy was higher on
Sam Bradford
Gabbert.
Is the same. Well, I didn't love Bradford. Gabbert. I thought he was my favorite quarterback is the guy that actually had a pretty good week was Ponder. I thought he was the best pro ready quarterback.
I think Ponder is one of those guys.
We said that in the pre-draft process
but he was way over
like Ponder.
Right.
But I think
Gabbert was too.
I don't like the way he played Sunday.
I think Newton was overdrafted.
Who, Ponder? You
know, yeah, 13 for 32 and running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I know that's first start.
He
and
kept
all
it
that,
close against the Super Bowl champs.
Well,
though.
He didn't. They did.
Okay, but the quarterback
I mean,
typically gets
30% of his passes.
I know, but
and threw two picks.
Okay, fine. Never mind.
What is that not true?
Yeah, it's just the quarterback generally gets the blame or the credit for when a team wins.
Okay, so we're going back to Tebow. Woohoo! You won.
You can't win.
Somebody
you,
no, beat his Cheerios.
Because you can't analyze how the guy plays. You just go, you know, what the score is. I mean,
but don't quarterbacks then, under that then, I mean, any quarterback, you can't really judge them on their first year.
No,
correct?
I'm looking at how a guy plays.
Because Peyton Manning didn't really play
he
well
sucked.
His first year.
He threw
year.
28 interceptions.
Right. But you analyze how the guy plays, not necessarily the result of the game, is my point.
Right, he didn't
I don't
play
think
well
Ponder played
year.
Very well.
Right, but Matt Cassel sucked when he started playing.
Absolutely.
And that's what I wanted to get back to. It's totally a bad comparison with Tebow.
By the way, I
Matt
don't love
Cassel
Matt Cassel
on the football field practicing can throw the football. Looks like a pro quarterback. I've said every day, if you just line him and Brady up and don't know anything else, he can throw the football with Tom Brady. The issue is when you get on the game field. He sucked in the preseason. I would have cut him. He would have never played for me that season because he wouldn't have been on my team.
Right. You guys wanted Gutierrez, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't.
And I thought because they simply were neck and neck, and I said, well, this is Cassel yet again. How long are we going to give this guy to develop? He's not good in the preseason. I would have cut him. But he developed over the course of that regular season. But don't compare the throwing. He could throw a football like an NFL quarterback is supposed to.
That's true.
Tebow cannot do that.
Tebow's redefining how an NFL quarterback throws the football.
Well, then it's the suckification of the position.
Richard in Northern Ireland says, I know it's early to be talking about potential MVP candidates, but after watching Sunday night's debacle, I think Peyton Manning should get consideration. Obviously, I don't think the award should actually go to someone who didn't play, but the Colts' collapse this season shows just how invaluable Manning is to Indianapolis. I know people have different criteria for choosing an MVP, but I always like the definition of MVP as the player who, if you remove them from their team, would result in the biggest drop-off in play.
But you actually under removed him from the team. He didn't play a down.
It's hard to argue against Manning.
But I you know, Fred and I argue this all. I hate that definition of it because not everybody gets removed from the equation.
But even if you
it's not
do,
even.
You can't. I mean, you're going to give an award to a guy who never played us. So he's wouldn't
kidding.
He win it forever?
Well, he wouldn't really give it to him. He said that.
He's just
oh,
kidding.
Okay.
He's just
he
kidding.
Said that's not what he's really saying.
Well,
but
careful because you say it enough, and Peter King will vote for him.
Well, that's not the first person I've heard say that. But all
there
of
are clowns in the media named Peter King.
I'm joking.
But yeah. You think that they would have had a losing record with him?
I do. Yeah. Well,
so,
not losing. They wouldn't have made
so how
the
much did they really miss him?
I thought they were going to have a drop-off had he even played. Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia, I just wanted to get your take on whether Manning is helping or hurting the Colts' chances of winning by being on the sidelines during their games. During the Saints game on Sunday night, the cameras frequently zoomed in on Peyton's expressions on the sideline. Over and over again, he was shown grimacing, sighing, scowling, and sometimes even yelling at other offensive players to pick up the pace. As I watched the game, I was reminded of 2008 when Brady went down and Cassel filled in. After week one, Brady disappeared off the face of the earth, not to return until minicamp opened the next spring. As far as the public knew, Brady wasn't anywhere near Gillette, especially not on game day. I think it was crucial to Castle's growth as a leader to not have his so-called mentor yelling at him on the sidelines. Not only is Peyton's mere presence on the sideline impossible to ignore, but being in the face of the other Colts players, I think, has been detrimental to their play. Of course, I'm probably naive to think that Jim Caldwell is indeed the Colts head coach, when in actuality it's Peyton Manning and has been since Dungy left. What do you guys think? Well, one of the differences is Brady was on IR, so Manning isn't.
That's
but it's
one.
It's a fair question in terms of if you're Curtis Painter, do you want him there? Is there an adverse effect to having him there? You know that there could be a positive one in terms of asking him questions, but is there some sort of pressure or something, or I don't know. I mean, it's a fair question.
They've done it both ways. He hasn't been down there, and
right.
He has been down there lately.
But he's been there all the time.
Because he wasn't cleared to be on the sideline.
Right, he was in the booth.
I mean, you also know that Brady was there all the time, too, right?
Right, but not
just
visual,
not, for the public.
Not the expectation, not the talk of it, not
yeah, I think it's has zero effect. I mean, I understand what Andy's point is.
Oh,
I think it has zero effect.
I think
that
positives would outweigh the negative
by
having
a lot.
Him there. I
mean,
I want to be able to go up to Peyton Manning when I come off the field and say, what did you think about that? What did I do?
I think you shouldn't let the snap bounce off your face, kid.
Well, that wasn't
I think
even
that goes without saying.
I mean, let's blame that on Manning, too,
right.
I guess.
No, I think if Curtis Painter can't come off the field and know what he did wrong on a play, then he shouldn't be playing. I think most people know what they did
you
wrong
don't think
on
that,
the play.
Come on. But you don't think
I do.
But you don't think a quarterback benefits from another set of eyes?
Sure. In the overall process, I'm not necessarily sure in the heat of the game. No,
well,
I'm
the
not.
Problem is he didn't see the open guy. It helps to have a guy say, you missed that guy over there.
How does it help? That play is over. Move on.
You don't learn from anything?
Yeah, you do. The next week. And I'm assuming Peyton Manning will be in the film room
when
they go over the
film.
Right
now, I'm in the middle of the game. I could appreciate a little help right now.
That play's gone. You can't fit. The play's not going to come up again.
I'm with you.
That same play is not going to come up again with the exact same coverage and the exact same formation.
Brooklyn Matt.
If he doesn't know what he did wrong, he shouldn't be on the football field.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, hey, Andy. You would say that the band at B-Lo's wedding was the best band you've ever seen. That's what's known as a cover band.
At a wedding, numbnut.
They're a dime a dozen in the butt of countless jokes.
Pull
you
your
colossal
thumb out of
tar.
Your ass.
Andy, you're the Tim Tebow of music critique.
Wait. Suck this, buddy. Eric, talk. Your boyfriend wants to talk for a minute.
Keep on.
Your boyfriend, the artist, your fellow artist, wants to talk for
keep
a minute.
Keep on.
Go, Eric.
Away. It's a good show.
Eric, go ahead.
Brooklyn Matt, I have to stick up for Andy on this one.
No. Formal artistic training.
Well, that's
true, but
they did.
Good, they must have, because they were by far the best live wedding band I've ever seen.
Suck it, Matt.
And you've
they
been
were
to
really
a lot.
Good. I've been to a lot of weddings, yeah, but
just
generally,
never his own.
Generally, I don't know why he needs to point out the ugliness when I'm defending him.
That's true. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate, and
that,
I take it back.
That's just proof.
Right.
Just how bad of a person he is.
I didn't need proof, but you're right.
Like Cam Newton bad?
No, I don't think you've ever shopped your services for money.
They were phenomenal. They had range, too. They weren't just doing modern stuff. They weren't just doing oldies.
Well,
they had a great mix
of... When you have 50 people in your band, you can do a lot of stuff.
They had eight people. They had
actually
people.
Only seven, because the one with the big cans, I heard her telling somebody she had no voice. She was just kind of winging it. Blue dress, big
the
cans.
The blue dress one?
Blue dress with
she
the
wasn't
1985
really doing
haircut.
She did sing a song, though.
So, Eric, you were invited, too?
Of course.
Oh.
Something
must have happened with my
invite.
It must have got lost in the mail somewhere.
Well, no. They never got to the D list because people RSVP'd, so they never got to you.
Did you hook up? Weddings sometimes are a good time to to hook up.
Not this one.
Not this one.
It was mostly
Troy Polamalu was available.
Inferring that there were others that he did.
Wow, he just takes a big leap.
Not this one.
Jeez. No, there wasn't a lot of opportunity. At this one.
You're busy?
No. There weren't a lot of...
Single women.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't. And
okay.
Didn't really see a lot of hot women.
No?
And okay. The few that were attractive were pretty young.
Oh. Yeah. And taken.
Yeah.
Like spoken
B-Lo's
for.
Brother's wife. Whew. Smoking.
I don't know if I...
Really?
Well, I don't know if she's the wife. B-Lo's brother...
Mistress?
I'm not sure if he's married or not.
He is married.
She is married.
Okay, then his wife is smoking. She looks like Beyonce.
Wow.
Oh my God!
Glad we didn't
Good
hear that.
God,
jeez. Rick writes in. He says,
"Rick writes."
First of all, he's in the Netherlands, but he says, "How are you guys doing?" I think it's all BS. I don't like Flacco, nor do I like Tebow. But Flacco went to a team with defense that would win games for him. That's not the case for Tebow. Put Tebow with the Ravens and Flacco with the Broncos. And I see Tebow doing better with the Ravens than Flacco with the Broncos.
I would too.
Anyway, have a good one, guys.
Team.
Next Sunday, Steelers are going down. I agree with that.
I think Tebow would do better with the Ravens
than
he is with the Broncos.
Right.
That I agree with. I don't think he would do better than Flacco with the Ravens.
No, than Flacco with the Broncos. If you flip the two, which team would be better? And I think the Ravens, because they're the better team.
But I think
it's a simple answer.
But I think with both teams, Flacco would be the better quarterback than Tebow.
Boy, that Flacco's better. He can throw.
That's part of my
Do you
point.
Believe in the phrase fatal flaw, Fred? Because I believe quarterback's fatal flaw can be the inability to throw.
Paul writes
We should ask Bill. Tebow, do you like your quarterbacks to be able to throw, and where do you think
it's
going
to be interesting to see
that?
How he talks about him on that week. You're going to get a lot of Urban Meyer crap and a lot of Florida crap.
It'll be the same way John
Fox not going to hear anything about the Broncos.
He's going to get better, and he's a great kid. John Fox never mentioned that Tebow played well. For all I saw like a cut-up of like 20 quotes. They were all, he's going to get better, it has to get better, and he's a great kid. I never heard him say he played well.
Because he didn't.
Well,
he didn't. He had a great, they had a great comeback at the end of the game.
He's great. He's the best fourth-quarter passer in the NFL. No, you said he's the best fourth-quarter passer in the NFL.
2-2 is now considered.
Eric
just wins.
I know.
You did.
He just wins. You just said it. He just wins.
And no, he said, well, what was his passer rating or what was his fourth-quarter numbers, you said.
That doesn't mean he's the best
quarterback. Stop stuttering, Grandpa.
That doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
But that's what you said.
No, I didn't.
You said he's number one fourth quarter rated
quarterback. I said he has a good rating, which means that he can't be totally bad.
He had one game.
West Virginia headed to the Big 12.
Paul says, I compared Tebow to Herman Cain with his 999 plan or 909 plan or electric fence. on the border to kill aliens. Once you take a good look, there's nothing there, yet there are a lot of people that think he's the next coming of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, that's apples and oranges. That's what he says. He answers every question with, that's apples and oranges.
I'm not a big Herman Cain guy. But.
He's better than Rick Perry.
Yeah. Oh, well,
douche.
Rick Perry's kind of
racist.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Bad dude.
I don't think he really even wants to go.
He doesn't
to the wall.
He doesn't want to be.
He just
in
wants
this.
To be like controversial.
Yeah,
he's trying to just like put himself out there.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be president. Thank God.
I like his new tax plan. You can do it on an index card. You just pay 20% or something.
James or Newt from Morgantown, West Virginia, a longtime listener, subscriber, great show. Question, when they rank offenses and defenses, why is it always based upon yards? Last I knew, the score is what counts. Based on that, the Pats are tied for 10th in scoring defense, not so bad. I know they've been better the past few weeks than the first few. What are your thoughts on the defense? See you this game this weekend. Go Pats, F the Steelers.
That's a great segue that I wanted to tease today.
Good.
Because tomorrow, Patriots Football Weekly on the PFW blog will unveil for the first time ever PFW's official power rankings.
Gonna get mega hits.
Based on a proprietary Wilson Hart power
and
index.
And it truly is proprietary.
Yes.
No one has ever done it the way you're doing it.
No.
I'm not kidding.
I consulted with great, great football minds to include some of the great, important stats that are most directly associated with winning in the National Football League, and they are all lumped together and computated and evaluated and calculated.
Computated, Paul.
Mike Tyson-ated. And in the end, you come up with a 1 to 32, and we will unveil it tomorrow. It should be very interesting, but it's simply not based on yards like the NFL does for the best defense, the best offense.
Right.
Much more than that and far more important categories than that.
And I think people will be maybe a little surprised at how it comes out.
Yeah, I forgot to check today. I don't know what happened after last night's game.
This first week.
The Ravens.
Yeah, because the Ravens would have dropped, right?
Mm-hmm. But they didn't give up a ton of points.
Right.
And they
played
tough, but they turned the ball over. I'm just saying. I don't know where it's going.
Some of those things might have something to do with that.
So it's interesting in that it's
the computations.
It's BCS-like in that every team, after it all goes through the computer, comes out with a number. And the lower the number, the better. And you can see the difference. You know, one team might be a 3.72. Next team might be a 3.8. There might be a close one. Then there might be 2-3 full points between teams.
And then you have to get the coaches poll and the AP
poll. No. We don't do the stupid stuff where
it's the BCS.
You know, that's exactly what I didn't want to do. I didn't want Paul, Andy, and Eric to sit in a room and go, I think the Ravens are pretty good. Even though they lost, I think they're the best team. And
this has no
stat base.
This has no opinion.
And I really believe if the media was actually fair,
they would use it. I agree.
This would be great for ESPN. No opinion involved.
And Ian Rappaport, if you're listening, Shalice, if you're listening, Jeff Howe, Chris Price, Fred said if I get 10 people to retweet it, he's buying all of PFW lunch. So please retweet tomorrow.
Oh, for real?
Well, they have to give you credit, you know, with a link back to
but
it.
But I can ask them to retweet it, right?
I guess. I mean, that's kind of, don't you want to see if it really happens organically?
No, I want lunch.
I agree, Fred.
No, I want lunch.
All right.
It doesn't have to be pretty and just.
That's
it just has
be
to work.
This is the part of the show where I disagree with everything Fred says, but then I said, I agree with you, Fred.
John Rook is up for Patriots Playbook, so he'll be here for the next 2 hours. And
he's excited about our power rankings. He's going to talk about them on his show tomorrow.
Keith Shepard is not in this week because he's getting married, so we'll replay this
show
invited
to that?
In the 4 o'clock hour. But we have special guests.
I didn't get my invite, by the way.
I did.
Yeah, I didn't either, John, so I wasn't invited.
Okay.
But so John's up. What do you got, John?
Nitpick Tuesday when they screw up during the bye.
Well, you got a
Rob Gronkowski
a
lot of Gronk talk.
You got a lot of other teams you can nitpick about. That was a bad week of football.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't a very good
week. Ugh.
All right,
did you watch
John's
the game last
up.
Night?
We have
worst
to go
ever.
To our Comcast Ugh. Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
Nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the horizon. Come on up and lay your hands in mine. Come on. My calling.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.